This is Hugh Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, everybody. 7 o'clock on the old atomic clock on the wall. It is The Show on Q Talk America on the 23rd of December, 2014. Howdy, everybody. It's show number 195. Oh, Katie June just texted me. She's almost here.
So close.
So close. Yeah, so far away.
And yet.
Yeah.
She's on Marty's standard time.
Apparently, maybe they're riding together. I have no
idea. Carpooling for the environment.
Oh, yeah. They're trying to be green. Of course they are.
I encourage it.
Oatmeal cookie.
Oh, iced oatmeal.
Don't mind if I do.
It says they were iced when they were hot. I'm not sure what year that was, but...
Oh, who cares? The preservatives that are in that...
I was iced when I was hot, too.
Yeah.
Those do look lovely. I haven't had these in forever. And they're mothers.
I was actually trying to find those goddamn Danish cookies, like ones that come in a tin that were clearly packaged in 1902.
Oh, right. The butter cookies?
Yeah, yes. Butter sugar cookies.
My grandmother always had those.
They're delicious.
Yes, they are.
I couldn't... The single girl Safeway wasn't pushing that. Clearly a whole tin of cookies was more than...
That's clearly a family item.
Yeah. But
I remember...
More than a single girl should hope for.
My mom's mom always had that little dish, or the tin on the top of the fridge with those little cookies. And remember, the paper and it splits them up and all that? Oh. And then the tin, I would repurpose the tin and put like bolts and nuts and stuff in it, like when it was done. That was how we
did. I would repurpose it as garbage.
No, it's a wonderful container.
Oh. Recycling.
Speaking of wonderful containers, there's Marty Ryer. Oh, my God. She is in the festive spirit. Look at all that. My God, she's got purple and she's like, a hoe. And
good morning, sunshine.
Yes.
I think I'm colorblind. Your Santa's cap is purple.
Yes. And and we've learned that Katie and Marty are not riding together. She's tardy.
Well, you didn't pick her up?
She just texted that she was running late. Then we decided you guys were riding together.
No, I'd been much later.
Here's what happened. We sat here and made shit up and then believed it.
Yeah.
Yes. You do that every week.
Valid point, Marty Ryer.
That's
valid
for
point.
You.
Yeah. Have you not heard the show before?
These are fucking good.
Oh, I know they are. They're even better.
Very little story.
Who's texting me now? Oh, Katie's still texting me. She's a busy bitch.
Still late. Latest update, still late.
Stop texting and drive, bitch.
This just in. She's still tardy. Well, hello to everybody in the chat room. My mom, Mama Di's there. Harrison. And Al's in there, too. He's right here in front of me. Very good. Very busy.
I'm in two places at once.
Look at that. Now, for those of you who are listening at the top of the show, Al is here, but he is on, he may be called to duty at any time. So if he has to abruptly leave us, well, we'll all be at a loss, but we'll all talk more.
Yeah, there you go. Dreams.
We better come
true.
Up with more stories.
Oh, we're
for real. I got like one.
I think we'll be fine. We'll make it up. We have to be out of here on time tonight too, because it's the annual employee show thing at Charlie's. So I have to go watch all those kids, Ruben and everybody, get drunk and
drag.
That's
the only way, reason he wants to leave.
I know Carlton's doing it too.
Yes,
no. Carlton's doing it too. But today was
we'd love to see that, but
today was the lovely the annual employee lunch at Durant's, which is always lovely.
Nice. I saw a picture. I was instantly jealous.
Yeah. I actually figured that you were going to comment something about it, but I almost actually text you because I never remember what that cream sauce is part of what dish.
The shrimp scampi.
Someday I'm going to have that again. Because I had a little bit of it with you one time, and I was like, oh, my God. It's like just eggnog and a shrimp.
Oh, and it's lovely. And I hadn't been there in a while, so the staff had to be, invited to never touch that plate once it lands on the table. That thing stays to dessert.
Did you bite somebody's thumb while screaming, back off, bitch?
Yeah. Well, I've slapped a few people and told them, like, that, you know, because there's like four shrimp in it, and who gives a shit?
Mm-hmm.
It's the sauce.
It's that sauce that it sits in, and the bread is spectacular in it. Mm-hmm. Even your steak, if dipped in this beautiful cream sauce, is
anything.
The steak, Diane, is my favorite. Have you had that?
No.
Oh, God, it's so good, and that's all. Just have it sometime.
I am not familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's amazing. Amazing, amazing. Can you reach underneath there and get that one, please?
What happened?
Can you give those to Clayton, please?
Oh, sure.
Delivery. It's just mail delivery. That's
why. There's two.
Yeah.
Oh. And one might be from her mother.
Oh, I wasn't thinking that far ahead of this. My God.
Well played.
Not normally thinking that
I'm
hard.
I'm almost done.
God damn it, Marty. How much shit do you have?
Jesus Christ.
I never saw with the Vikings game on Sunday.
For those of you,
I forgot about Marnie and holidays.
Oh, for those God,
who, I've been gone for a long time. I forgot.
For those of you who can't see Marnie, she has a purple Minnesota Vikings stocking cap on.
Oh, she's not done.
And then she's got
just in case I have my
and your twins hat. Mm-hmm. Also, reindeer antler glasses.
Sally Jesse Ruffy dancer prancer glasses.
What's that say? Cub foods. Oh, no, fuck! No, now
here comes a nose.
Here comes a nose.
No, fucking clown.
You are.
Oh my
you
God.
You can see it in the camera shot. I love that.
Oh, that's nice. That's,
this is that's how fantastic. She wants to be remembered.
Yes.
Oh, yes, it absolutely is.
Oh, no, I meant that totally sincerely.
If anyone has a beer and they would like a koozie, I have those too.
Golly. Hey.
Well, for God's sake.
Here's unless some, you want a Santa.
Would you like some socks? Huh. I haven't opened them yet because don't want to ruin the packaging.
Or you can be an elf.
Oh, God.
I would be delighted to be an elf.
Almost life size, actually, right now. So it works out.
It's hard to get used to that nose.
Oh, so you're already done with that. Oh, now you're gonna,
two balls.
Two.
Two balls.
If one's not enough, two.
I kind of went like this to put it on. No.
Ball gag.
That's just to put it on.
Yeah, that's sure. Well, that's how it starts. We're gonna play a game.
Yeah.
Here's your safety word.
Eeny, meeny, miny.
Oh.
Wow.
That's a mouthful.
She is really ready to take that.
Oh my God.
Whatever.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's all good.
And we had a present from Bag of Nope.
We did get a gift.
Oh. Yeah.
How would you like it?
Read the title of that book.
It's called The Totesra Dictionary.
I enjoy it already, but I don't even know.
Totes Riddick. I love it.
Shinary.
Yeah, Shinary. I like the Riddick part.
In a propes. It's totes and ports.
I like it already.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
It's totes trage. Really tragic.
It's really tragic if it's totes trage. I did the name.
For
you, I named the show last week, literally, Totes Lit.
So weird.
I know.
How did
well,
that happen?
I did it for you.
I love the totes use, usually.
Totes use?
Totes use.
Good stuff.
So what I think we should do is I think we should quiz Katie June on these.
Oh, that's a good one. We can get.
I think we should just pull them out at random throughout the show.
You locked Lady Katie up.
Oh, door.
What is that?
I don't know. That just came out of my...
And you can leave it unlocked too, Marn, because Michael's on his way.
Okay.
Do you want to stop and get coffee, maybe?
He's riding the bus.
Yeah, I like your optimism. Now.
He's only worked for a couple weeks.
Well, you know.
He's not even in the front of the bus.
Well, midway, he bribed him.
Hun, your ruby slippers are cray cray gorge. Thanks, babes. They were free. All I had to do was drop a house on a witch. It was amazeballs.
Wow. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
I'm gonna read that book cover to cover.
This is really funny.
We'll have to go through some more of those. Well, Katie June has arrived. She's in the kitchen. She ran across that little door like Letterman does when he runs across the stage to get to the desk. I'm not sure why you felt you had to run so fast and hard.
Hi.
There.
That's just how we do.
Hello.
Well, hi. Let me turn your mic on, Katie June. There, you're. By
I'm
the
so
way,
sorry.
Your new name is Katie Lady because he. It's what
no,
he called
Lady Katie.
Lady Katie.
I heard you from the outside the window where I was a rapping on the window, and then I realized they're all wearing fucking headphones.
Yeah.
They can't hear me.
But typically can we can. Me. I mean, we should. It's just I don't know. You weren't rapping bad.
I heard. You guys were using some abreeves, so THX for that. Totes abreeves.
Look at the book he's got. It's totes.
It's totes for dictionary. And it includes.
Stop it!
It includes movie posters that are really fucking funny.
Now, Kat has brought up the idea that we should go through this book and totes quiz you on things because
yeah, I feel like I got this.
All right. Oh, totes moto mortified or mortified.
Totes mortified.
Totes motes.
But we got a lot of mileage out of this book. Good. For the first 10 minutes of the show.
Yeah, that is funny. She meant to text the photo of her boyfriend, but accidentally sent it to her dad. She was absomorto.
Wow, that's good. I like it.
Anybody know a Becky DiMarcantonio? It sounds like somebody I would know from back home.
Not at the moment.
Or it sounds
as I read the name out loud, I realized that's probably one of mine.
Probably one of yours.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why would
you
ask that?
Emailing you?
So it's a big long Italian name that just requested me as a friend.
Boom.
Like, that's somebody probably don't know somebody from back home.
Totes back.
Can I? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Kate.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, Kate.
I just came in late, and forgive me for that. And I have a gift.
Oh, yeah. It is Festivus.
It is. The holiday for the rest of us.
Is it here in the studio, or do you have to go get something?
Oh. Well, I was going to like wait until, because I know you said we'd, I feel like we should name exchange, but you guys said no.
So, well, I like my name.
Pretty loudly, I know.
Right. I don't.
Although now that Lady Katie's on the table. Yeah. And Dr. Ben Carlson. Yeah.
That's true.
Before you continue, speaking of name exchanges, there was a marathon on Sunday of the Golden Girls, and I just sit there forever and just watch them. And I actually saw episodes I'd never seen before. One of them was the Christmas episode where they decided they were all too broke to buy for everybody, so they were just going to put names in a hat and draw and just each buy for the other person.
Yeah.
And then they went to Rose and they said, we're just going to draw names out of a hat. And Rose says, well, that's silly. Whose names will they be?
Should we do that? Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Right, yeah. Kitty June, you've got the floor.
All right. So I wanted to get something that was like totes of props for a show of people that drink all the time.
We do that.
So I found these clever things, and they're like, you know, they're like the cunt mugs. They're like for the studio.
First cunt mug.
I have to figure out who.
Oh, they're individuals. Oh,
they
I
are.
Like it. I like
I don't
it.
Really know.
Personalized.
Like
gifts.
I read as I'm reading them, yeah. I was like, these go to people, but I'm gonna look again.
And now I remember my mom. My mom and my and her sister used to always go to the store and read all the cards and then laugh hysterically, and people four and five aisles away were like, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah.
So were you reading them just laughing?
Oh, they are so good.
That was
so good.
That was
so I feel like this one is for you,
Al. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Read it.
They're cool. Can
I this is what Harrison and I was saying in the store, and they are...
What's it say, Al?
Monica, dear, that was a precious little story. Now be a sweetheart and fix mommy another martini.
I just feel like I hear Ruthie in that.
That
somewhere.
Is exactly right.
It's good.
And this was my Clayton one.
Okay, the Clayton one.
Yeah.
These are fabulous.
I just felt like that was a pro.
It's a picture of a wiener dog at the edge of a pool, and the caption says, once that wiener hits the pool, it's going to shrink up to nothing. Totes
well
a pro.
Played. I
totes
like
a pro.
Okay, so I don't. These ones are great. I don't know. Let's see. No, this one's definitely not me. This actually could be an Al one.
Yeah.
But I am going to give it.
We're all in a similar boat in here. So.
Yeah. Cat.
Oh.
I got the almost Al gift.
I don't know.
One.
It could be a Marnie. It really could be anybody.
It's either secretly shitty.
No,
or
it's a good one.
Out loud shitty.
No.
I'm not sure.
It's gonna be good. I think it's gonna be good.
I feel like that's a bartender thing.
Okay.
It says it finally dawned on me. There's not a single thing about him that doesn't piss me off.
No, that's Cat.
That's Barry. I think that is you, Cat.
I love it.
Oh, Marnie.
That one, I think, I don't know. That one, I could just really go to anybody, really.
It's Marnak the Magnificent over there.
I feel it could be anyone.
Because there's an old lady on it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, no.
It was the night before Christmas and Grandma was smashed.
Could be anyone.
I was at that party.
It was yesterday.
Could have been mine because I talked about getting like blitzed on Thanksgiving or whatever. Yeah. And mine is, it's 5:30 somewhere. You're already two drinks behind.
I love
Thank
these.
You,
these are my favorite.
So these are a little something for the
mic
for the studio.
Mike.
Something for the
Mike
studio.
And, yeah, what are their names? Mike and God, I
Oh, you're right.
The designer. No. The cards are my favorite.
Mike Wright.
That's exactly.
The cards are so fantastic.
So good. They are so good.
I gave one to somebody for their birthday who's a hairdresser, and it's the same woman from like three different decades, and the hair, she's younger, the hair's smaller, then it's bigger, then she's older, and it's huge, and it's like, you know, closer, just right, or something to that effect. But those are very cute cards.
I
like that they're real. I don't know where they get them, but those are they're real photographs that they use.
And like,
I'm always afraid I'm going to come across one of mine.
Well, do you give your photographs out?
No. But I'm afraid my family might
call the internet.
You know, because they give everything away.
I have sent. I've sent a couple cards that, honest to God, could have just been my family.
Sure.
This picture, really? I have this picture of my dad and his, like, parents, like, doing kitchen, like, doing, cooking up dinner.
Yeah.
I have that photograph.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just, like, I love those old photos. It just, yeah. So I, whenever I buy these cards, it tends to be for my, like, aunts, uncles, grandparents, like, you know, my parents. Because it's their photos. It's from their time, and they just think they're great.
You could have said, oh, yeah, that was at Sutton's house. Oh, yeah, I remember that party. Oh,
this is like, yeah, totally. That's so fun.
Gotcha.
Anyway, Merry Christmas. I come late, but I come bearing gifts.
That's very
good.
I have Pop-Tarts and Mother's iced oatmeal cookies.
Which I'll take. I also have some Chardonnay in the fridge. It has to cool down to an appropriate temperature. Thank goodness we have the gauge.
Yeah, we do. It's right
for
there.
You to taste. But well, it's the Chardonnay I've been talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Just
four
in case.
4 weeks.
Oh, but you know what that's for? We were just talking. I was thinking for, because Al can't participate tonight.
Correct.
So I think for next.
What in
the
world?
I won't bring more.
For next Tuesday, I think it's shitty end of 14 and we just take it out of the slosh and the bag.
But I have
peppermint
to taste
bark
your Chardonnay.
To self, I need to be off next
bark.
Wednesday.
Yeah,
done.
Okay.
Peppermint
that's
bark
next
and
Wednesday's
vodka
New Year's Eve, though, little, so.
I mean, I can work at night. It's fine.
Yeah, that's
what is that? Walgreens vodka? What is that bottle?
No, Pinnacle.
No, that's
water. What's the? Oh, that's water.
Oh, yeah, this is.
Oh, I'm like, it looked. You know how.
What is that creature on the left?
No, like, it's vodka.
I was telling.
You said.
SodaStream.
You said vodka and you pointed at that bottle. And I thought, you know how Walgreens has their nice line of things. It's like nice napkins. That was like nice vodka. Like, well, fuck that.
I prefer the wild to the nice.
I would not say no.
Okay, so peppermint bark vodka I could do in like a hot chocolate
coffee,
or something.
Oh,
but I talked to everyone that I could talk to, which is
a lot of people.
I have a lot of
you know people.
About
people.
Your
caramel,
about
chocolate.
Your hideous
so good.
Sriracha.
Yeah.
In like hot chocolate, yeah. I almost sick every time I brought it up. But I did it a lot.
There are many other forms that I'm sure I'd be better in, but I'm not opposed to really anything with sriracha vodka.
I told you she needed a lot of room.
She did. Well, you two are fighting for space.
Oh, we're fine.
Well, no, before you got here, he was
the VIP memorial of Beverage Center.
Sure. I always get my beverages.
Hang on. I'm the only one that gets the VIP memorial.
Well, true.
I said Dr. Ben Carlson.
Okay.
Memorial. No, but Marty, before you got here, Al had stuff ever, and he goes, oh, I guess I have to make room for her, because he was spreading out all of his wares.
Yeah, I was.
Well, thanks. I'm going to keep my glasses right there.
Oh, I would, because you never know. You might need them at a moment's notice.
Aren't Mother's Oatmeal Cookies delicious?
They are the best.
Literally the best. I haven't had them since a kid.
I had to reach way up to the top to get them.
I can't remember the last time I ate these. I think I was a child in my parents' house, and I am so happy right now.
Isn't that the new thing? Like with glasses and our
pretend you're not that old.
Yeah, right. I'm not.
I know. I'm now 8 days away from enjoying my vision insurance again.
There you go.
Wait.
What?
Very important.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Why are you only drinking coffee?
I'm on call.
Fuck.
I know, I thought pregnant too, and then
but I am tasting that wine.
It's just a taste.
Just that reaction, Katie, because you had to think about it.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Like, what's happening? It is. It's very
adult. Grown up. Hashtag fucking work.
Yeah.
Hashtag bullshit.
Would anybody mind if I turned the fan up one notch?
No, not at all.
Okay. Let's continue. Katie? We'll start with your mouth full. Totes full.
Super totes full.
What you been doing?
I wasn't looking at him. I thought he was having a stroke. I'm like, oh my God, avert your eyes.
You guys, I'm just so excited for Christmas. I really am. And I love Christmas. It's so fun. It was a couple weeks ago I was sick. So I'm not sick anymore. Thank the Lord. I'm drinking again.
Everybody's feeling better. Is everyone feeling better?
Everyone's better.
The wagon
everyone's
has
good.
Driven away.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I was off of it a few weeks ago. And yeah, I don't know. Christmas just makes me in a great mood. I just love it. We're doing Christmas Eve with my parents and Christmas Day with Kelly's family. And I'm just pumped.
Good.
It's fun. You know, I was just talking to a friend about gifts. We still do gifts for all of each other, you know. And Kelly's family doesn't at all. She and her brother, mother, father,
family.
They don't do, they do zero gifts.
I like Kelly's family.
Yeah, and everyone does well for themselves. They're all successful and they buy whatever the fuck they want. And so they don't need to do presents. My family is different. And I think the other thing is that Kelly is, at 43, is the youngest child. Mm-hmm. And my sister at 23 is the youngest child. Sure. And at 34, I'm the oldest child. So we are just a little bit, we've always just been a kind of a younger family, the Junes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when my sister was born, I was 10. I got that Santa was not a thing anymore, right. But like I played it for as long as I fucking could because that's I wanted awesome. My sister to believe because we got more presents when Santa
right,
came.
Exactly.
Sure. Like just bottom line.
So this you don't want a fucking thing to do.
There's
with your
a whole
sister.
Stack that goes bottom away line. When Santa goes
away. Santa goes away because now you're only getting parents from presents. Or,
yes.
Right? Yep. Have
pause,
another.
Pause. Rewind. Flip
presents
that around.
From parents.
Yes. No.
You were always just getting presents from parents, but now they're like, we have to buy two.
We don't have to buy double, because right. I don't have to be from mom and dad and right. from right. Santa.
The fat guy.
Right. So anyhow, we've just always been kind of, you know, Kelly and I will talk sometimes about how our family is a family of very young souls. Like, we kind of mm-hmm. feel that way. And Kelly's is much, her family seems to just be kind of older souls. Like, they may have done this life thing a time or two before, and our family maybe has not. Anyway, so we still do gifts. And so it's fun. I buy gifts for my brother and my sister and my mom and my dad, and they do gifts for all of us and for Kelly and for Palmer. And so it's a lot. So
but
it's a little
though.
Bit. It is
yeah, but
fun.
Palmer's totally at that age too.
She
where
gets,
this is fun.
Oh yeah, like, everybody gets age. A 3-year-old presents and they love it. Yeah. But it really is like not stressful. It's fun. Like nobody's stressing out, and we try to do really nice things for each other. And
yeah, that's always. I don't participate, but my family still does it up. Way yeah. too big. And they do, like, they sent pictures from their family Christmas party that they just had this past Friday or Saturday, and videos of everybody, like, doing this 12 Days of Christmas dance they've been doing for years. Everybody's assigned a character in the 12 Days of Christmas.
Yeah, that's
and
amazing.
And now, like, the kids...
So you show up and everyone gets a character.
Yeah.
You're like, you're the Nine Lords of Leaping.
Yeah, and they stand in a circle, and it was funny. The video, I watched the video, too. It was very funny. And, you know, but, you know, my sister was out here, and she's like, oh, I got to buy for this part. I'm like, everyone in this story is in their 20s and has jobs. They do not need you buying shit. But they still do it, and you're not going to talk them out of it. And they
and
make a big deal
us.
And break, you know, spend all their money on shit that you're going to look at once and put in the closet. And
it is fun. My sister, being so much younger, and she's also the cheapest cheapskate on earth, that she won't buy herself nice things that she wants. And so she really, I hope you're not listening, Morgan, really wanted a...
Chances are no.
Yeah. Really wanted a designer handbag, okay. Which is like, wait, I don't spend $350 on a person. That is
could
beyond.
Be cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending.
Yeah. So it was, but it makes me excited. Like she's been saying for a really long time, oh, I just want this, but I won't spend it on myself. She's like, won't go there. So a bunch of us got together. We all like pitched in a little bit.
That's nice.
And got this really nice thing for her. So it's just
cool.
Fun. Yeah. So I'm just like excited and. Oh, it's so much fun.
Good.
Yeah. So it's Christmas week.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I enjoy it. 1 year in my early 20s, late 30s. Early 20s. I was just broke. And there was I wasn't shipping home presents to like seven. It just wasn't happening. Just wasn't cash for that. And then my family felt bad. I'm like, everybody just pitch in and get me the box set of Barbra Streisand for the record. You know, it was like $70 from all seven. Everybody pitch in $10. Slap that on me and we'll call it a day.
Yeah.
And that's when I just turned to like, you know, they're like, let's just settle. And that's when I finally got it. Like, you know what? We can just settle this down. And like one gift from all 12 of you that I want is perfectly appropriate.
Yeah.
Instead of like 18 things that I'm going to look at and be like,
bye,
I got to put this in my luggage.
Yeah, I know.
Not that they weren't thoughtful
and
gifts.
I think it's one of those things because I love throughout the year to like find different things. Like,
oh, you're
fucking
great
sucks.
At that. Yeah, I mean, you're like, great at that.
Just stupid. If we've been talking about it and all of a sudden I walk up and I see something ridiculous like that.
And we've
totally
been talking about camo socks. I don't remember that.
Yes.
Yeah, camo prom.
Camo prom.
I mean, everything was about camofflage and he had
no idea.
I
also want you to
be aware.
I forgot about that.
And I go to Target and there I see those come on.
I want you to also be super aware and I just want to like put it out there that whoever's those were, I took them home.
Yeah, that a girl.
Yeah,
that
so
was
they're
the
mine now.
I got them for you.
I wore the fuck out of them.
Would you like a secondary pair so you and Kelly can match?
You want to guess on to Kelly?
Oh my God. Yes, I do.
Because I don't know.
I'm going to wrap this shit up and put it in
your
stocking.
I think you should. I think you should. Because
she was coveting yours. Now you can have your own.
But
babe, we have matching camos.
Please write on it, though. Merry Christmas from Q Talk.
Oh my God, I totally will.
And then you look at her and like do that. You can't see my feet. You can't see my feet. That's what Cat kept doing. Like, can't see my feet. Can't
see can't
them.
They're hidden. They're camo.
You can see my toes.
Cat was stoned that night. During the show.
I hear that.
Time out. No. Sure wasn't.
Wow, you are a bitch tonight already. She's cranky and she's tired. Sure she's was cranky. It.
Can I wait? I want to give.
Don't even play along with that, bitch.
I want to give you a compliment that I don't know if I gave you last week.
That's so nice.
We drank wine, so I'm not sure.
You can give it again. Compliments.
You have such a good radio voice.
Oh, well, thank
do you guys
you.
Feel like the same thing?
Uh-huh.
Like
no.
I said that the first week she was here.
You did. A really, no, really good radio voice.
Well, thank you.
Actually, my mom and I discussed so nice. That the first week that you filled in.
Mm-hmm.
And started,
so
yeah.
good. Yeah, like I've listened to it back. Like I thought that here. And then when I listened to it back, I was like, damn.
Damn, Gina.
Damn. Wow. That bitch got a voice for radio.
Sounds wow. like a girl.
That bitch got a face for radio. I mean, a voice for radio. But anyway.
And maybe if it, well, thank you.
Kudos to your radio voice.
That's very nice.
Well, then.
The rest Chubs. Of it's shitty, but the voice is awesome. There's that.
Yeah, you're horrible, but yeah. you got a good voice.
In a striking contrast to all of your
pep. You yeah. all suck, but sorry about it. Everybody else. Yeah. Myself, yeah. she hasn't told that us last week.
I enjoy phrases no, but... like, in a striking contrast. I enjoy
you mean,
that.
Said in Kat's voice.
Yes.
See, watch. In a striking contrast. Yeah, it just doesn't work. Go ahead, you try it.
In a striking contrast.
It just doesn't work.
It's not the same.
No, it's just not.
All right. By the way, Katie, I got the your holiday card that you sent, and
yay.
It's very cute.
Oh, it is very cute.
And I felt that I'd seen the picture before because it was all over Facebook. But anyway, I
no,
like
that
the
was that one was not.
Oh, it's,
but the majority. I mean, the
I'll compare the two and pick out the yeah. differences.
I know.
What's missing from this picture?
Wait. Kelly's eyebrows a little bit. Higher.
I don't know if I sent you one because I don't know if you sent me your address. Did you? Or wait, no, you. It was you. I'm pointing across
you.
The table. I didn't get your address.
All right.
But I love
I can
you.
Give it to you. Okay.
It's okay. over that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just doing my Christmas cards.
East of here.
Just fling it.
I love it. That's
or if you happen to have it on. If you happen to have it on. Actually, I could give.
I don't have them on.
Well, I could give her the one you sent me and send me another
one. You know what?
It's perfect.
That doesn't matter.
You'll get your card tomorrow.
I have to write them out tonight.
In actuality or like.
No, really.
Oh, good. Yeah, okay, fine.
Hopefully.
Christmas cards are fun. Except for also not fun.
I think that they're fantastic. I just like to get them in the mail. So I'm pissed that you guys all got them handed to you.
That's why
I just couldn't.
Did it in the mail.
Yeah.
Because
it's so much more fun.
Christmas cards are great, but they're really the most fun when you like have something in the mail to open up. And my cabinets, because I like shove them in, you know, we've got like the cabinet. I shove them into all the cabinets. So they're, it's like, Kelly hates it. They're everywhere. It's like plastic. Because our fridge isn't magnetized and I don't have any like creative way to display cards. So they're just like shoved into cabinet. She hates it. But I think it's so fun.
And I love getting cards. I love it.
Yep. I love getting a mail that's not a bill.
I was
going
to throw them in your lawn, but I didn't have
throw
time.
Them in your lawn.
I knew the mail wouldn't get there, so I was gonna,
right.
But that was it. So
true.
Sorry.
That. All right. So we're cleared up with you. You're caught up.
So thanks, everybody. Hi.
And by
Hi.
The way, the picture you posted of Palmer with the kid that she was greeting in school was cute. That's
ridiculous.
A totes cute picture.
So cute. Yeah. He's a little Jew. It's cute. She's like intermingling faiths.
I love it.
Just a little Jew.
He's a tiny Jew.
How's his Hanukkah?
I'm a little Jew.
You see his little,
and
he has a little Hanukkah tie on.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Cute.
I thought it was wrapping.
Last night, I think,
yeah, day,
right?
We're at day seven.
No, I thought it was wrapping paper from Walgreens on it. I wasn't sure.
Her tiny Jewish friend.
Oh, yes. Carlson, you've been working, you said?
I have. I have no idea if I got the June family card because I haven't seen my house since
living in the van?
Last Tuesday.
Got it, along with the teepee.
Right.
As soon as I got the address.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Don't even know because I go home in time to sleep and get up and go back to work again. I'm getting into the swing of yet another job.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the casino.
Because you need more to do.
Because I need more.
Because I was wearing your cup last week.
Right, yeah.
And you were like, I need
just
that back,
started,
actually.
Like, the HR slideshows last week.
Yeah. And I may need that
And
back.
Have been.
The HR slideshow.
And how's it going?
It's going good. Yeah. Settling in, you know, whatever. I'm calling it the Watch People Work Week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Orientation.
Shadowing, yeah. Like, here, follow this asshole around who already knows how to do the job that you pretty much already know and just watch.
Yeah.
And the other thing is
and then
probably
have somebody explain why do you have a stalker? Why is that lady or man?
Who's the new guy?
Yeah.
Happening a lot.
The other thing you probably hate.
Excuse me, sir.
Catherine.
For those of us who have been around the bar industry for maybe an exceptional amount of time. Like, you're being trained by somebody who's been in it for 6 months and you've been doing it for 10, 15 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's they're all very nice people.
Oh. Well, that's
very
lovely.
Nice people. Yeah. It's lovely. So, yeah, I don't know. Playing the part of the bitchy host tonight will be me.
It's, that a girl.
It's yeah. good that Al gets a break on that's this right. Festivus. Right.
Go ahead good. And be pleasant.
Well, I don't know that he wants to push it.
Yeah. So much so that we've postponed Christmas until Sunday.
Oh.
It's not even happening this
you
week in our house.
You can do that?
You can, yeah. We decided, kids aren't home. I haven't shopped. We got nothing. Nope, Sunday.
Good. Are the kiddos at?
They're with their dad.
Yeah, dad's yeah. house.
They're so, out of town until they come home Saturday. Yeah.
Okay. Do you sort of
love it?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Okay, because I didn't want to say that and be bad, but you said it. So, but I meant that.
No. Because there are some weeks when you're like, oh no, don't go. I'll miss you terribly. And then there are some weeks where you're
totes
like,
go.
It's time for your dad to pick you up because yeah. you yeah. got to go, kid.
I'm going like, wait by the curb.
Right.
Because there was, okay.
Can he come early?
Put your thumb up.
When we went on a vacation, Kelly
put
and I
put a
went
nanny
on,
cam out there just yeah. in case.
Kelly I live and on I a main road. People will watch.
We went on a cruise.
Somebody will see something.
And I was so sad about like the cruise and leaving Palmer and with my parents. And I was like, and like, when I got out of the vehicle, my mom dropped me off at the airport, and I cried, like, you know, the actual act of goodbye. And I was two steps into that airport, and I'm like, bitch, where's my Bloody Mary? And I didn't think about her once. Yeah. And I felt like, am I a horrible parent? Like, yeah. I didn't think about her.
Only when no. you listen back
I think,
to this.
I think horrible
or when
parenting,
she listens in years.
Right. I think horrible parenting comes in when the 9-year-old looks at you and brings you a beer and shows you that he could open it and that you need one.
So you're saying I had bad parents?
That's happened to me.
Those
yep,
are just understand. Sensitive,
That's
sensitive children.
Oh my God! Did you know? Were you around with my
I'm
dad?
Totally, my
yeah.
dad.
Mm-hmm. My dad used to call it "rush the duck." We never know. He died without ever telling us what the hell that meant. But he'd say "rush the duck," and that meant bring him a beer from downstairs.
All right.
And you had to pour it and not get any head in it.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? So
he
like,
bred you sure. to be a bartender.
So I mean, it's funny. Yeah. My sister, when my sister was visiting, we were at a restaurant and. At the next table, like somebody sat down. Oh, we went to that brewery, mm-hmm. and somebody sat down like two beers with heads on them. She's like, "Do you ever just look at that and think amateurs, fucking amateurs?"
If you only wanted to Google what your dad meant, you could have found out.
Shut the fuck up.
Rush the growler, which is also, you know, the growler is a term for those, one of the beer stein things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, parenthetically, rush the duck to bring beer home from a saloon in a container.
But, oh, shut the fuck up.
Oh my God, there you just is. Learned a big thing from your life.
It's wow. actually from
it's like a seance.
Apparently it's from a series of
I'm gonna carry that on. I'm gonna start saying that at my house.
It looks like it's also from a series of books called the Harry Rees Mysteries. It's like something in it. Your dad must have read a book.
Oh, he was a big reader. Well,
he may have got it from there, but Rush the Duck is to bring beer home from a saloon in a container.
That is so That's funny. Cool. We knew what to do. We never knew what it meant.
I feel we've learned something today.
Yeah.
We're bringing it back.
My dad's was, Kate, get me a beer. That was his rush the duck call. That was his duck call. Kate, get me a beer.
That's nice.
Richard from Quebec joins us. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, hey, Richard.
Very
and nice.
And then finally, I think we all might need to say hello to my in-laws, so I can't say terrible things about them, because I believe that they are watching right now.
Well, but you've never said anything but glowing
So there will be no talking shit about the in-laws today.
Yeah, no, they're great. I've only ever heard amazing, yeah. amazing things about them.
Well, we'll finish 10 minutes early.
In my wonderful
clue.
Voice.
Sell Thanks that, Katie. Sell that.
Thanks
they're
for the
They're beautiful.
Clue.
Everything,
wonderful,
everything about
wonderful
them.
Things.
Handsome, beautiful. Love it.
Madam Ryer?
Well, I went to Miami.
You did? I didn't realize.
Did
you tell us all you were going? Because I don't
no,
remember
I
hearing
started this. Talking, so I wasn't able to tell you.
And so it goes.
Because all of a sudden I'm like, she's in
trying,
fucking
but,
Florida.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I had a group of friends years ago. We used to go on little Viking trips and go do things. And
in like your Viking ships?
Yeah.
No,
how ancient are you?
We go.
Thank you for discovering America.
It's all row together.
You're welcome.
Stroke.
We would.
Ooh, that's a ladies' party. The Mar- say that.
What is it? The Marnie, the Santa Maria, the Pinta.
The Marnie.
Wait, that
Mariah,
guy was Italian. Wait,
the Mariah.
Different.
Yeah. Sorry, that was
same but different.
Italians in Columbus.
So, 500 years later.
Not the Vikings.
Totally,
I'm sorry.
No, different.
Continue on.
Different. Anyway, so we had stopped. We would go to like the warm places. All the Minnesotans would want to obviously
sure.
go to the warm places.
Yes,
and so we would do that. And we quit about say 6 years ago, maybe a little bit more. And so this was the first trip since. And four of us went, and it was absolutely lovely. I'm pretty sure I slept the entire time except the game. Like, it was really kind of wild. Because that's
a
so
really lovely, like, sleep. Like a nice sleep.
Really, most like, expensive nap ever.
Kind of.
Yeah.
We walked in, and one of my girlfriends had found this place that was like a two bedroom, fully kitchen, fully everything, overlooked the ocean.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Gorgeous. It was gorgeous. And if you had told me I couldn't go to the ocean, I would have climbed down like, you know, Spider-Man from the 14th floor and gone to the ocean. I maybe went like twice. Like, I walked over there, and it was at night.
To the Osh?
Kind of, yeah, and just kind of hung out. Totes Osh.
Totes.
And just kind of hung out.
I may need to study the book.
Maybe see if that's there. Osh Tote? I don't know.
And Totes what?
Just really relaxing, though, obviously, because I would see a pillow, like, and all of a sudden I was narcoleptic, and was like, oh.
You know, oh, so. You got some rest?
Yeah, yeah, like 14 hours here, and 6 hours. It was crazy. So, didn't see any of Miami except the inside of the stadium and a cab.
So, but you had like a Booker's trip to
but
Miami.
But you like had a really, but you needed it. The rest.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
So, good
well,
for
you got to bond with the girls. Yeah. Three other
there
ones?
Were three as long as they were in the gals, bed. No, there were three other gals, and one of them I didn't know. But two of them I've known 37 years, 38 years.
Yeah.
So. Oh, very exciting.
Yeah, it was really cool. So,
were they at your party where you stood in the, where they had the pony keg in the bathtub?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pony just guessing.
Keg in the one bathtub. Of them was.
Just guessing.
One of them was, yeah. In the
I want a keg stand on that pony keg in the bathtub. That's
totally,
what I want to do.
Yeah. I don't know that there was room, but, you know, we could try to make room.
I'll do it. I'm actually a pretty good keg stander.
It's a team thing. Yeah, when you're doing a kickstand, you don't do it solo.
I was a championship kickstander.
Kind of the angle in the bathroom is more what I was thinking. But.
That was the craziest 5-4 we crosstalk. My head almost exploded right there.
And I was quiet.
That's a good point.
Hey, Kale.
That's a good point. So anyway, it was a lovely weekend.
And did they win?
No.
They lost to Miami?
Totes
no. You have no idea. Like, we lost by a safety in, like, the last... blocked punt. It was the craziest.
I don't even know what any of those
game.
Things mean.
Craziest ending to a game. It was back and forth, and yeah. Oh my god!
Was that
god.
The one where like, the guy what? Just like ninja jumped over everybody
yep.
else?
And,
oh,
and
I saw
then,
that one.
There. Yeah,
I was working
end.
In a sports bar last night.
That's that seriously is the only game I did
you?
Not.
Look how
I didn't catch
I am.
Was,
by
it, but it was beautiful. Like, it was gorgeous outside, and the fans were so nice, and. So what? I mean, like, we had a good time.
Yeah.
And neither team is going anywhere.
Right, right,
so,
exactly.
So nobody was like, you know, an asshole to the other. We're like, well, better luck next year.
Yeah, you know? Sucked just like we do.
Yeah, yay, we all suck. We just suck.
We're number two. We're
really
number
what they
two.
Were saying, so.
Yeah.
I have a couple of new Facebook friends on there because I was taking pictures of people. I'm like, I'll send them. I have no idea. But I'll get those up.
Get them to listen.
Yeah, we'll work on that. But one of them from
give
Brazil.
Give me their name.
Baby
no.
steps, yeah.
But this Kelly gal and her boyfriend, maybe. So that could be fun.
How fun.
Yeah, it really was. It was just a kind of random, even though it was planned since October. And it just came up, you know?
Totally
like,
spur of the moment.
Does not know what random means.
No, but I mean, it didn't feel like it was going to happen. It just kept not feeling like it was going to happen. So all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, I'm going to Florida.
Mm.
So, I've never been to Florida.
But, oh,
and
that
I
was your first time.
Didn't get any...
No good,
stories.
No
there
good, like
any...
scoop in Florida.
And you even went to Tampa. You went even, you went to...
Just... I went into Tampa for like... A minute and a half.
But that's the den of crazy there.
Oh, totally. I saw in Tampa, I took a picture for Erin of what I thought was one of the housewives.
Oh.
I mean, for real. Like, she was getting on my plane, and I'm all, girl, what up? She had stuff on her head that I think she thought was hair. And
oh, boy.
Uh-oh. I don't know. It was like tumbling tumbleweed, and she's all like, ooh, that looks party. Oh, no, it doesn't.
My hair's on Bob Vail Pro.
I know. What?
Oh, I know.
It was very funny, though.
Tampa St. Pete is fancy.
I think it would have been. Well, and then I hear that people got hit by lightning in Tampa at the game.
Oh.
There was the Tampa Bay game was being played. And I'm like, huh, good thing it wasn't Miami.
Yeah, so, that's horrible.
So, but it was, like I said, anyway, just lovely. And
guess what else? Ice cookies.
Yep. Vikings lost and nobody cares. And so it was fun.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, that is a loud plastic
care.
Pepper.
It was a
I'm
lot
not taking
how many?
Oh,
just saving time.
I do I'm care. Good
She's just saving time. That's all that is.
It's just
fun.
Smart.
And it is. It's budgeting.
I'm totally with Katie. I love the holidays. I absolutely stupidly, as Kat pointed out, love the holidays and the...
I don't think I said stupid.
No, no, no. I did. Oh, I am. Oh. I stupidly love the holidays.
What did I point out?
That you,
that I love
she
the
loves
holidays.
Them. Right. She added the adjective stupidly.
Yeah, because I get like how just redonkulous it is, and I don't even care.
I was just wondering how I got in that story.
I was just shocked. When you walked in, I was like, okay, it was nice today, but it wasn't quite shorts and a t-shirt nice. But it was very nice today.
Oh,
it was a beautiful day.
Yeah, it was a little chilly, but meh, doesn't matter. I was fine. This I put on right
before I even went out in the daylight today.
For those of you who are around the world freezing your ass off, it's 56 degrees right now in Phoenix. We're fine.
It's so fucking cold. We're dying.
It feels,
we're dying.
I need my boots.
We're not meant to live like this.
But it's like in the morning, though, I'm freezing balls. If it's 56 in the morning, I don't have balls.
Wait, is that is that an activity? Are you actively freezing balls?
Only on Tuesdays.
I want to freeze ball. I'm freezing ball.
Totes ball.
Free balls. But at night, a 56 in the morning is ass cold. A 56 at night is like, so nice.
No, when I get out of work in the morning, my windows are frosted over. If I didn't have a rear view camera, I would never get out of that parking lot because, well, I guess I could wipe off the window. But my
options were.
Where you found your car?
I would be stuck. I would sit there for hours.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Rear defroster I'm home before the rear defroster has defrosted the back window, and my whole car's frosted over.
Like, I get places before my entire windows are defrosted.
I use the windshield wipers so I can kind of see out the front, but I have to put the front defroster on high and hot to, like,
just to clarify, by frost, we really mean heavy condensation.
Heavy dew. Heavy dew.
No, but it's
not even frozen. It's not solid.
That sounds like a rapper. But it's heavy dew in the house.
It's take care of it.
No, because the windshield wiper gets rid of the first part, and the rest is actual, like,
fog.
Fog, yeah. It's still fucking cold.
If you go like this, it's icy.
I haven't had to use the seat warmers yet, though, this year.
Parts of tonight's show are being brought to you by Drama.
Yeah.
I used the seat warmers like a month ago.
Now, here's what I say to people back east that pull this ship. We go from 115 to 117 down to 50. That's like 80 to 20.
That's
a big fucking change of temperature.
Sure it is.
Right. You're totally right. So 57 degrees is not cold for the rest of the country. But when you're coming from 107 degrees.
But it's 60 degrees lower than our high.
Yes. Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a drop in temperature that we're not used to. Plus, I live in the ice cold palace, the stone cold palace. And that fucker's its own separate climate. It's like a micro climate.
Rains in there.
In the winter, is it just like ice, an ice box? Right.
You should see me. I walk around there like I'm looking for the abominable snowman.
You're wishing.
And my sister is.
And hoping.
My sister was so funny. She's in from Niagara Falls, and the first day I told her, I'm like, just be prepared. The Stone Cold Palace I don't use the term lightly.
It's a stone cold.
It's very cold in the house. And she's like, oh.
Like Steve
Austin.
She's
like, I don't. I always think they mean the $1 million man or $6 million man.
Different.
I know. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, oh, no, I don't keep my heat on at home either. I'll be fine. And the next day she's like, I only have one sweatshirt. So I need to borrow some sweatshirts. And she would try to be brave.
Can we go to the REI down the street? I've got a shop.
And she would say every day, she's like, it is fucking cold in this house. I'm like, I'm telling you.
Yep.
Love don't live here anymore.
If my house is not like, if we at night we turn it to 72 and that's warm at night, but if we don't have it there, like, I'm freezing.
I've now started to keep in my heat at 70. 69 was not getting it done.
No,
so
we gotta be like 71 or 72 at night. During the day we're at 70, but at night, it's got to be 72, or like, I feel like Palmer's toes will fall off.
They might.
We couldn't have a more stimulating show right now.
Clayton McKee, what have you been up to?
Well, adjusting my thermostat. I was 70 one day, and then the next, I'm like, oh, it could be 73. Stop. That's what I
do. It's drama.
Have you finished all your shopping?
Straight on drama.
Haven't started. I'll do it tomorrow. I got a couple things I'm done.
Attagirl.
Yeah. And unlike all of you, I hate this whole fucking season.
What?
I really do. I have no need for it.
Drink more.
Other than the string of lights around the house, I don't care about any of this. Yeah. Done.
Why the string of lights on? I never get that.
I just really like lights.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Because they're pretty.
Because, I mean, I love Christmas lights, but I like Christmas music, too. Yeah. But I also have never worked
anywhere.
Been
listening since fucking-tober.
Yeah. I also have never worked anywhere that had canned in Christmas music.
Oh, yeah.
So it's never bothered me.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I love it.
Like, I've never once been annoyed by it, except for there's the Feliz Navidad for 5 straight minutes.
Yeah, that's a fucking problem.
It only has 2 goddamn words to it.
Yeah.
3. I want an issue, America. Or more. Right.
Bam.
Bam.
Yeah.
But it's
blind guy.
It really is too much.
Over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah, done. Like I was saying earlier, annual employee lunch today at Durant's. For those of you locally here in Phoenix who have been here, Durant's is a lovely restaurant that has stuck in time, and it has the great old red vinyl or leather booths and all of the artwork from 1950. It was open, right?
55
it was open. So food is fantastic. It's amazing. And so we had that there. And then tonight is the turnabout show at the bar from all the other employees. Every year, they're like, when are you going to do drag? I'm done. We're not doing drag anymore.
Right. I have seen in pictures, though.
Yeah, well, that was not now. That was.
Yeah.
He's with me at the drag that retirement home.
Yeah, exactly. I've raised my money. I've done that. I'll produce the show. I'm fine with that. But I'm not. We're not.
Ain't going to be in it.
Yeah.
And I'm almost ready to give up all the wigs, too.
That'll be a day.
I think it's almost time to, okay, to sell off the heads.
All right.
So I have a whole closet that's just wigs on the one side.
A whole closet? I didn't realize that. Like in the back room?
In my bedroom, there's a side wall to the closet, and it's all wig heads.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That's
fantastic.
So that is, I'm tolerating this week. I got a couple new clients. I'm doing stuff, yada, yada. Oh, here's what my day started with. And some of you will understand this, some of you won't. My day started at 7 o'clock this morning with a phone call from a client who, the language barrier sometimes is really challenging because Letitia, who is not a black woman, that you might think that, she doesn't know anything about computer systems, internet, or anything. All she knows is how to put, you know, sandwiches together in this deli that we have as a customer. Mm-hmm. She calls me. She doesn't understand, no internet, none of this, da-da-da-da-da. Driving me crazy. So for hours, she calls me every 15 minutes. Is it fixed yet? No, I don't know. I can't help
Bitch,
you.
Bitch, it ain't fixed.
So come to find out, the entire building's internet system was down.
No.
So I then talked to like 3 or 4 other people. Finally, like 4 o'clock this afternoon, they resolved this. And I like how the left hand is what the right hand is doing. None of these people who are involved in this building at all know what the fuck is going on. And it drives me crazy. It's like, how can you have a multi-million dollar office complex and nobody's in control of anything? This person, I don't know, the internet might work, it might not, we're getting conflicting reports. Somebody go to the goddamn building and figure this out. Drives me insane.
Maybe they're hooked to North Korea.
I had one client text me that yesterday when a printer screwed up. Like, oh my God, are we being hacked? No.
Plug in your printer.
Please tell me they were serious. And then please tell me the venue.
No,
because I want to go there.
Bunkhouse.
So they were serious.
So they had to, I said, reset the printer, and they did, and everything was magical. Now, the other service call I had this week was losing their mind over a printer, a bar printer that like prints out drink tickets, you know, so the bartender knows what to make.
And so weird. I've never done that.
Lost their mind because we didn't know what the heck was wrong with it. Well, apparently you can't pour cherry juice in a printer because everything was just sticky. So I went in and
it's a hard lesson to learn.
People, come on. You cannot.
Because I was about to try that.
Grenadine
at my new job. Faster. Hey, you guys, check this new thing out.
Look, I can make all of our tickets red for Christmas.
How much grenadine can a printer hold? I don't know. Jesus, that was a brutal. So anyway, that's how my day started. So yay me, got through that, and then hopefully tomorrow they'll all figure out that I'm not answering my phone. So it's Christmas Eve, and
that's right.
Though I don't really give a rat's ass about the rest of it, I can't answer my phone on that day. No. Yeah. No.
Should you.
It's all that. Okay, Marnie Ryer, are you ready to go? Let's get on with this shit, shall we? I think we're going to do it. It's called Headlines, and here we go. Stories from around the world and some right here in Phoenix. None of my stories, but I hope somebody will have one. Festivus could be an official holiday under a new law.
Let's play the name game.
Satanic temple display comes to the Florida Capitol.
Muzzle something.
Man smokes weed and then sucks off a horse.
Meh. Bachmanisms to end 14.
And South Dakota halts their Don't Jerk and Drive campaign, plus the top 10 fake TV holidays. All coming up right here in Headlines.
I like it.
Places I'm not going to live anymore.
Ever.
That Dakota state.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm out.
The second best Dakota.
I'm out.
I still like further South Dakota. I think still my favorite.
Are we doing 3 or 4?
I did four.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
Well, I just want to know which one I'm not doing because I wanted the last one that I have on here.
Okay. Well, then just pick it yourself.
Okay.
Ah, well, the Satanic Temple is wishing everyone a happy holiday season.
And to them, too.
And here's a, this is a story, this is one of the reasons I want to do this story is because of this word. After a brief kerfuffle over a placement, the temple added its holiday display to the Florida Capitol's Rotunda. And I have a picture of it, which is here. Oh, I gotta take that off. I hate when I do that. And we'll do this. Nestled between two pillars designated the designated space, an open form of expression, and five other holiday displays, the diorama of the biblical scene of an angel falling into a pit of fire is a response to nativity scenes that have been in that place in the Capitol in previous years. Quote, there's no significance to it. It's just a display that we put up to counteract the nativity scene, the Satanic Temple member John Porgel said after setting up the display, adding, it's all or none, and this represents the other side of the manger scene. So what they've got, I'll flip this on and show you. So the angel is falling down into the fire.
I do love a diorama, though.
I do, especially from the Satanic Temple.
So that's what they're doing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so bless their hearts. They got it.
In a breaking news update.
Oh, my God, what?
Said diorama.
Yeah?
As of 7 o'clock this evening, has been damaged.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Did the angel fall?
Go.
The angel completed the fall.
Did somebody set it on fire, literally?
Wait, stand by.
Beelzebub.
A woman was charged with criminal mischief Tuesday after the Satanic Temple's holiday diorama in the Florida Capitol was damaged.
Oh, how could they tell? It wasn't not the prettiest thing to do.
I'm telling you, it's all about Lucifer.
Susan Hemerick. 54 of Tallahassee.
54.
It's good to know. If that's you don't have that.
54.
Entered the Capitol at 11:23 a.m. and told an on-duty police officer that she was sorry and had to take the satanic display, according to a Florida Department law enforcement probable cause affidavit. When the woman was advised not to remove the temple's fallen angel display from its table, the affidavit said that Hemerick reached forward and began to rip apart the display.
Oh, dun, dun, dun.
Just this morning.
Wow. Now,
I bet she has a daughter named Carrie.
Now, adding that several groups wanting to place displays chided the state for allowing religious depictions in public buildings to happen at all. A 6-foot pole of beer cans celebrating the fictitious holiday Festivus has made its way into the Capitol for the past couple of years, as have several banners from atheist groups and a display from the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Stop it.
Swear.
I would worship
best
that one.
Best church ever.
Yeah.
That's insane.
They actually had been denied for their display the past couple years, but they enlisted the help of a Washington, D.C.-based educational nonpartisan Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, which threatened legal action and brought in lawyers. The state capital of Florida crumbled and let them have their way, which somebody just
so
tore
that
apart.
Fox News could spend a week talking about the war on Christmas.
Exactly. More wars. More wars.
Wars.
Ah, yes.
Well, I figure that we should remain in the holiday season. Aaron and I were watching a show a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
What show
was it? Already sounds fun.
Getting there. Getting
it
there.
Already getting there. Sounds fun. That
we
was
decided
bitchy.
Accidentally that it was porn.
Well.
No. It's a whole. So and but it's one that it's a show that people have been watching for moons, and I thought because of our Show Me on the Pooh Bear kind of thing that we had going
we're
on,
known for
that, this was just terribly appropriate.
Okay,
how many of you have seen Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
Spelled with an O or a U?
Oh, it's with an O, and it's the one that people watch all the time. There is a penguin named Topper. There are brothers named Wingle, Dingle, Tingle, Zingle, and Bingle. It's all very odd, and it's creepy how Santa kind of walks in and looks at you and his. Just watch the show. I can't point this out strongly enough that you have to go back and watch this fucking thing. And as you're, I
a little
mean,
twisted innuendo there for you.
I'm serious. Like, we sat there not even looking at it in a troubling way, you know, trying to find something. We were just watching it, and all of a sudden we're like, do you see what's happening here? Does anybody see what's happening here? So please, it's not really an article. It was more a conversation piece. But clearly, I need you to go back and see if anyone...
Santa Claus is Coming to Town. All
I'm
right,
telling
I'm
you.
In.
And then at the end where they stop Santa Claus is Coming to Town, he's got a very interesting face. And so just pay attention.
Black
see
and white, color? Color.
It's in color.
In color.
1970. Okay. I thought it was much earlier than that.
Gotcha.
But it's not.
I was pretty sure it was in our lifetime.
Yeah, and I was surprised because I really did think it was a little bit later than that. But please watch it because that had always, I thought, been
wholesome
a
entertainment.
Favorite wholesome entertainment.
Now,
and
different,
then I'm like,
different hole.
No,
yeah, totally. There's a whole lot about sitting on laps and an angry. No, yeah, I don't know.
So is this
show me on the Santa Claus?
Is this you, coming you know? From the same point of view? Wherein, for example, watching Warner Brothers cartoons as a kid, funny, funny, funny. As an adult, you're like, oh, that was a racist joke. Oh, right. That was a Cold War joke.
I think so.
So are you seeing this different? Like, kids would not get any of this.
But I watch it damn near every year. So yeah. I thought. But after that whole article, the whole story that we did about the Pooh Bear and Poland,
yeah,
and
that asshole's not wearing pants. When are we going to talk about that?
Right. I mean, like,
or
all
Bugs
of that.
Bunny, the only time he puts clothes on is being dragged.
Drag, right.
He's either naked or wearing a dress.
I mean,
it's like you.
There's right.
Fair
enough, yes.
Got it.
But I just wanted, please, go on, watch it again, and just see if you see it in a different way. It just fucking cracked us up to the whole thing.
All right.
Good half an hour.
Let's see how
Wingle, dingle, tingle, and topper. I'm telling you right now.
Well, the toppers.
The topper.
Is there a bottomer somewhere?
No, that's he's Santa.
Awfully, topper's awfully cute.
That could be Santa. We don't know. That's what I'm saying. It's kind of creepy.
Wingle, dingle, yeah. Dingle, topper, topper, topper.
Wingle, dingle, like dingle, something. And it could be.
I think it is now.
Yeah. I think they stripped to it.
Done.
Wow. I didn't know you were going to break into a musical festival.
I think they stripped down the chimney.
Oh.
Every time.
Oh, I'm just saying.
Went down your chimney.
Lots of chimneys to look down.
And hurry down my chimney.
Tonight. By the way, Kris Kringle does tell you, changing from bad to good is as easy as taking your first step. I'm telling you, he's a pedophile. Watch it. I'm telling you.
Wow.
Oops. Oh, my God.
Hey, if you can make Pooh Bear bad, I'm telling you that I can change this whole Santa thing.
Well, there was a gender identity crisis with Pooh Bear. That was part of
Santa's
the problem.
Santa's got something going
what
on.
What is he? Boy, is he girl? What's going on?
He's always got his hand in something sticky, too.
That's a good point.
Uh-huh. He goes in face
and he's walking around that little piglet all the time.
It's true.
Very
honey.
Good.
Yeah, good call.
Well.
Good call. Good eye.
Okay, thanks.
Good eye for pedophiles.
Our friends in the Washington State... Washington state law designated to give public employees unpaid time off for religious reasons is so ambiguous that it could be used to take a day off this month, to celebrate Festivus, according to Seattle's King 5 News. Festivus is the December 23rd holiday from a 1997 Seinfeld episode centered around a poll and a ceremony known as the airing of grievances. In Washington, Christmas is already a state holiday like it is in almost every frickin' state. The new law was created to give people of other faiths a chance for their own holiday time. But since it does not define religion, there's no way to stop workers from using it to celebrate Festivus or any other holiday.
Hey, mine's the Academy Awards. I already right, told them that word.
Sure. Now, and some of the short-staffed city managers have a big problem with this, apparently. King 5 reports that while the days off are unpaid, hiring people to replace those workers will cost more money. So they're also worried about people abusing the law with last-minute, quote, religious holidays. The station said the law may be reworked into simply become two unpaid floating holidays that would have to be scheduled weeks or months in advance. But since Festivus is always December 23rd, and a growing number of people are celebrating it for real... it sounds like the law could still allow for a day off for the airing of grievances and feats of strength. It truly is a Festivus miracle.
Well, for some people, spending time with your family is a time to want to fucking kill yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to go spend time with people you don't like. So
and
most people are like, it's 4:00. Can we be done with this? You know what I mean? Like, we're done with
the
meal, right? Yeah.
Matlock's on. I got
to
go.
Well, no, but that's why, like, bars are busy. They have movie premieres. Like, everybody knows, like, okay... many of us enjoy our families and wouldn't mind the time together, but at a certain point you're like, all right, and we're done, because I've heard the story about Aunt Carol 400 times already.
Right.
I agree.
We whip it out every Christmas. I'm going to go see a movie about, you know.
Just like Santa Claus. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
You know, what I noticed is that on Kirsten Cinema's personal page, like, she personally posted Happy Festivus for the rest of us, the airing of grievances, and she's not religious. And I think while she celebrates Christmas, probably with Lindsay and whatever else as like just to do, she's not religious at all. And I she posted something from the Humanist, the Human Fund.
Yeah.
Like reposted a Human Fund thing. That was just interesting to me.
Well, we're going to continue on with our Festivus holiday news reading. Al's going to give us a drinking word in a minute. We have more things to eat and drink in the studio than normal, but we'll get through it somehow. Coming up later also, Katie June. Kat Carlson's got stuff. So many things to happen. We'll be back. Stay with us right here on Q Talk America.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening again, everybody. 8 o'clock on the old atomic clock on the wall. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. That's me alongside Kat Carlson, Katie June, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins. If you're not paying attention, we've gone up one in our cast. We decided that Kat Carlson had such a good radio voice that we're just going to keep her.
She's brilliant on air.
Thank you, Clayton. Yeah.
Now back to you.
Now back to exactly. Back to you, fuckers.
Sorry. I just like your voice.
It's quite all right.
Don't be sorry. You may compliment me anytime you want.
I'm not. I like that. I like it.
I'd like to remind you all that stalking is when two people go on a walk and only one of them knows, a romantic walk, and one of them knows about it. I'm kidding. They're both lesbians and they're both married, so they're good. There's no infidelity.
Right. It's just a walk.
It's just high fidelity.
It's just a walk.
And I had no idea you were with me. So.
You're an apparition. No, what is that? Yeah, did you say stalking? When two people go on a romantic walk,
I have
only one of them know about it?
Yeah.
That is funny shit. Yeah.
And I'm actually stumped by two of them.
What are we?
Which ones?
Out of the blue, Al comes up with something. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, she got me a really cute, Marnie got me, Mariah over here got me a really cute mug.
Gotcha.
And it's all movie quotes. And I've seen every movie, but there's two that I can't quite place. And one is, well, nobody's perfect. And I know that one, but I can't think of it.
I'm going to Google it.
And the other one is, this is one I hear all the time. Badges, we ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges.
Three Amigos.
Oh, is that what it's from?
Chevy Chase, Martin Short, and
Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm. Badges. We don't need no stinking badges.
Ooh, I know where that's from. Well, nobody's perfect. It's an old movie. It's from 1959.
Lauren Bacall.
I'm going to give you some more clues until you get it.
Here we go.
Oh, it's Some Like It Hot?
Yes!
Oh, very good!
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah. That was at 1959, and let me give you some more clues. Yeah. Good one.
I was good. I knew I'd seen it. It's because he's not really a woman. He's got a penis. Mm-hmm. Well, nobody's perfect.
I do remember that.
Because it turns out the guy is like, I'm okay with you
Marilyn
being
Monroe.
Jack Lemmon. And Lemmon. Tony Curtis.
Yep. Uh-huh. Very good. Yep.
Tony Curtis, who is
Jamie Lee Curtis's
father.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Hollywood royalty,
tying
basically.
It together.
It is 802.
Who's the director?
Some Like It Hot is William Wyler.
God, so good. You're so good.
He's one of the most famous directors in Hollywood.
By the way,
it's not
it really
that
doesn't
hard.
Matter. It really was that difficult because I'm all like, oh,
I wouldn't know the fuck
Ridley
was.
Scott.
All right.
Here we are.
Steven Spielberg.
Beginning of hour two, and as we always do, we start out with a little thing we call the drinking disclaimer, and it goes something like this.
And now, a drink along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, I can't read the word that I was offered, but I want to use Festivus.
Ah, very good.
Good one.
For the rest
it can
of us.
It can be tied in. I like it.
Yeah, because I can make it a swear word. Oh, these are so cute.
I know.
They are. They're great cards.
They are.
Where do you have them put together?
I put them together. Like, those are, like, just through Walgreens.
That's why I asked.
I do that. But the other ones was a lovely Groupon through...
Tiny Prints.
Staples.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like,
is this the Staples?
For $18, I got almost $90 worth of cards.
So wait, wow. So how does that work? You take the little pictures to them, or do
no,
you
I do
upload
it on
them?
The computer.
You like design it on. Yeah. They give you the template.
Oh, okay, yeah. and then you can choose
the different kind that you want. Oh,
that's cute.
Like for Erin, I always try to do something for the two of us that doesn't say Merry Christmas because she's half Jewish. So the idea of season's greetings and going with that.
So she needs to be involved in the Christmaka.
Exactly.
I have for the last couple of years, I've tried to do like happy holidays or my last year's one just said cheers.
Right.
So this year it said Merry Christmas. And I was like, son of a bitch. I realized I had like 10 people that are Jews on my list.
I absolutely love that fucking card.
Wrote in marker over it. Holiday. Yeah. Like Merry holiday
well,
to you.
Well, you know, it bothers me because I'd love to say Merry Christmas. And that's a thing with me that I hate it when everybody goes to something else so that everybody's covered. And I get that. I get it.
Yeah. Right.
But for Mom and I, it makes better sense to say Merry Christmas. So that's why, and
I love this with Di.
I'm good with the happy holidays till it's actually Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Then Merry Christmas. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't recognize your Jim Beam bottle in the back there.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
But that's Woody.
Especially in the hospital. It is.
Yeah, it's Suzanne Targe.
That's the Woodman.
Got it.
Yep.
That's a person.
He's in my living room, too.
I knew that. Yeah.
He's all over the place.
I just didn't realize that he was on your mom's shoulder at the AIDS walk. But
please don't call him Jim Beam.
Don't call him. Wow.
Festivus.
Not actually Jim.
Grievance. Got it. Yeah. Duly noted. Yep.
However, he was
noted.
However, he was made out of a pretty good quantity of Jim
Beam.
I really
think
sure.
so. That's a great point.
Your story or my story, my dear?
I believe mine.
Go for it.
All right.
Get on it, girl.
I'm going to go with Scott Walker.
Everyone's friend.
Scott Walker's a douchebag.
In the highest sense.
The highest quality of a douchebag. And we were talking about Festivus and Christmas and happy holidays and half Jewish. And, well, it's Hanukkah, right? So, and Hanukkah is the holiday that commemorates the burning of oil. Republicans naturally love it.
Yeah.
But in his haste to celebrate the Festival of Lights, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker got a little ahead of himself. In an undated letter posted by the Capital Times Wednesday, Walker wrote to a constituent that he would be happy to display a menorah at the Milwaukee County Courthouse. At the time, he was serving as county executive when this letter had come out. But what stands out most is his closing line. Thank you for your letter regarding the menorah display. Yes, we would be happy to display the menorah celebrating the 8 days of Hanukkah here at the courthouse. Thank you again. And Molotov. Oh my God, I laughed so hard.
Molotov.
At press time.
And then he threw a Bud Light bottle for right. the
And just a little time. Piece of shirt.
A little bit.
It burned for 8 days.
Just ripped the hem off.
Russian vodka.
As of press time, Molotov was not part of the Jewish lexicon. A Molotov cocktail is an improvised handheld explosive used the world over by protesters and grenade-deprived soldiers. The Molotov cocktail
and gangsters
was reportedly named for former Soviet defense minister something-something Molotov.
European?
Yeah.
Thank you.
European.
It is Molotov. Not intended that Walker intended to bestow, much less throw, Molotov cocktails, but he came back with, I really think that that was just a misprint.
Yeah.
I think.
Really?
Maybe.
Presumably.
Maybe.
That, you know, they were searching for Mazel Tov.
Yeah.
If no one had caught
that. Damn autocorrect.
Right.
Damn
it always goes to Molotov when I'm looking for Mazel Tov.
And this story comes back to haunt him every fucking year.
But that's more traditionally used to congratulate someone at a wedding or bar mitzvah.
Molotov.
Anyway,
that's awesome.
Just, I read that and Walker's office did not immediately return a request
not
for
immediately.
Comment. But they didn't hear back, and they didn't hear back from anyone about the menorah either. But I just thought that was great. And to all our Jewish listeners, Molotov.
Molotov,
Molotov.
Too. Very nice.
That's why I wrote Molotov.
Oh, I'm like, what the hell is Molitor? I'm like,
I just wrote it fast because
it's a medication.
For something.
Is that where
like
Frodo was headed?
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I was going to say Harry Potter. Yep. We were on the same page.
I just thought that was
great. I know. She hands it to me and I'm like, I can't use it because I don't know what the hell that is.
Drinking word is Molitor. What?
Mazel. So everyone out there celebrating.
Mazel, yeah. Our drinking word is Festivus, for those of you who didn't hear it. I'll give it to you.
To everyone celebrating Hanukkah, mazel tov.
Oh, let's go north to the land of Wausau, Wisconsin, where a 30-year-old has been charged with possession of marijuana and blowing a horse.
Wow, yes.
Good stuff.
Court documents obtained by the Northwestern.com claim that Jared Kreft was found inside a barn with a marijuana pipe and a jar of petroleum jelly.
Oh, God.
He was also wearing a face mask and blue wind pants.
Like you do.
With holes cut around the crotch and ass areas. Kreft.
Did you put him on the horse?
So I have so many questions just about that sentence.
He's got his Adidas chaps on.
Let's get through this
all
hole.
All that's covered is the taint.
Let's
my ass is right near my crotch.
Let's get this story out here, then we'll discuss this. Kreft admitted to police that before he was found inside the barn, he said... with the said animal, which he blew and later jacked off the horse, he had been viewing horse porn.
Of course.
Now, police searched Kreft's apartment and found marijuana, though they weren't able to locate any horse porn. Kreft is locked up in the Marathon County Jail on a $2,000 cash-only bond. He faces a judge on Tuesday, which I think was actually earlier today, which should also make for an interesting item. We'll keep you posted. In other sex news, sex horse news, back in October, a 19-year-old Floridian jacked off on a horse plush toy in a Walmart and put the stuffed animal back on the shelf in a classic, changed my mind fashion.
Didn't really love her.
Yeah. So quite frankly, in that story, a horse was not a horse, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Why the long face? Yeah. Get out of my stable. What was funny, if you look, there were a bunch of comments about this. About this story, and oddly, the fifth one was not, you know, Obama's a Muslim. Nothing of that. One of them said that he was looking for a stable relationship.
See, that's puns done right.
Yeah, that's. But puns there were
right.
Several
that's your Christmas
hashtag puns done right.
There were several funny remarks.
Are you
but
saying when, mine aren't?
But when I read,
no, I'm just saying it's a Christmas.
When
gift
I read,
thank you. No,
when
I'm
I read the statement that he was
angry.
Found inside
thank
a barn with a marijuana pipe, a jar of petroleum jelly, wearing wind pants with holes cut around the crotch and ass areas. What?
Yeah.
This has to be a fake story.
Adidas
no, it's not. Actually, Google it. Actually, several news sources have
it's
this.
It's legit.
It's a legit story.
What are wind pants?
They're like pants.
I'm not kidding. They're the Adidas pants with the white stripe down the side.
Yeah.
The running pants.
Like the really thin
but they're, material. They're thin, like parachute material, but they're not parachute
but I
pants.
I like how he's able to cut something out of the crotch and the ass.
I love
ass.
That Harrison's on YouTube. And like, is she looking for
what? What I want to know, too, is like...
Harrison horse porn is extremely hard to find.
Did he already
No, she's looking up Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh,
did he already have said petroleum jelly and horse porn?
Yeah, what was this horse fucker's
name? How did he, like, he walked out of his house with a hole, like his penis hanging out of a thing and like a big bare ass. And then he like walked around with
that. He wrapped a sweatshirt around his waist.
Or like, I can't envision.
I think he just galloped.
First part of the story is like, and a guy is arrested for blowing a horse. And I just think that's
30-year-old Jared Kreft was charged with possession of marijuana and blowing a horse.
So I think my favorite thing was... Didn't you send this? And you're like, is this even too wrong for us?
I know, because I just you charged with marijuana Festivus. Possession and blowing a horse.
They are not like related, ladies and gentlemen.
I would Festivus. Like to say, I don't have any personal knowledge of the use of marijuana, but as I understand it, I don't think pot makes you go oral on a horse.
I don't think it leads to horse porn.
No, I think there's something else wrong with him.
I go oral on like a chocolate bar or a box of those fucking cookies.
Yeah, exactly.
But not a horse.
Mother's hot iced oatmeal.
Or there's something else in the kitchen, like whatever crack he's on that he's made with.
Oh, he's definitely like doing weird.
But you got to give him meth. You've got to give him points for being prepared. He had the pants already pre-cut and a jar of.
But he was blowing him. Why did he have all those holes?
Well, just in case.
Was he just working up to the
maybe
a horse?
Well,
I also
that's why he had the. With him.
But remember, didn't we read something, or did I just read that? Where, like,
or did you make it up?
Maybe it's that horse porn video. I don't know.
No, like, someone else blew a horse recently in the news and said it tasted like hay.
Oh,
and it
God.
Was. Was that
what?
On this show? Yes.
No, that was not on this show.
How do you have that article
time
and
out,
we
time
don't
out.
Know about it?
What other shows?
Is this? Listen.
Time out. What? My favorite thing about this.
It was at the Cat Carlson Memorial.
VIP horse blowers test.
Is it Katie June says, was that this show or... Is there another
How many shows are you involved in?
How do we not talk about people fucking
how
horses?
How do we not know about this?
Hold on, I gotta find it.
Because I'd like to listen to that other show.
I'm thinking not a kid. Is that happening at the gymnastics place? Because I'm gonna stop dropping off.
Because seriously, where could that happen? Gymnastics place at
mommy and me swim
lessons,
sex,
AJ's,
preschool parking lots.
I've got to find this. It's going to take me a second, maybe.
What the, there's all kinds of... what the heck?
Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey. I like this.
It's so bad.
It's really fucking
what
troubling.
What the fuck kind of news do you want?
I'm not entirely sure.
But did I read
I'm
that?
I'm feeling a little bit bad about my own life right now.
Well,
so
you should.
That's a fair question.
And you should feel bad about not letting
love
us
it.
Know. That's really the problem. So there was a... Let's play the name game a little bit.
Oh.
Did you guys hear about the guy who bought a ticket round the world with his girlfriend?
Oh, yes. And he needed someone with their same name.
Same name from Canada. Like, there was all this stuff as far as... So, back up.
Okay.
A Toronto man had made headlines. It was sometime in November.
Ago, yeah.
Yeah, like late October, early November. Offering a free round the world air ticket to a woman with the same name as his ex-girlfriend. In order, when you book the ticket,
it's non-refundable. Gotcha.
And they got a great deal, but you have to have the same exact name. Okay. Now, I thought it was wild because it's not about a birthday, it's not about any address, this, that. Like, if you book a flight now, it has to be, everything would need to be the same. What's your birthday?
No, it really is just your name.
Oh, I thought it was.
No, because your address is not on the plane ticket at all. It's just your name.
Nor your date of birth or anything else.
Breaking news.
But you
got to
have your name.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Former President George H.W. Bush has been taken to a hospital due to shortness of breath. Maybe that's all it is, but
I thought
we're
going
to wait. I looked over here because I'm like, I know we have Barbara.
Oh, shit.
So that's why I was like... Okay, sorry. We'll keep ourselves posted.
I think in this festive season, we shouldn't be hoping for somebody to die.
I'm not hoping, but I know that I got really kind of weird when Mandela died. I'm just going to take a sip. Hold on, because I won't.
Wouldn't we rather it be W and not HW?
Oh, they're,
yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Clayton, yeah.
Clayton's, I'm not wishing any of them.
That's true. When it starts getting real, then you kind of go, I don't wish anybody,
but... So this Jordan, and I'm going to probably butcher the last name, Aksani... is 28, and his then-girlfriend, named Elizabeth Gallagher, booked heavily discounted round-the-world tickets last May. But their relationship ended, and he didn't want the ticket to go to waste. So...
And then we'll fucking take her.
Right? She ain't gone. But there's a strict no-transfer policy, but since the passport information was not required when booking, it can be used by any Canadian named Elizabeth Gallagher.
Gotcha.
So he posted an offer on, again, Reddit...
Yeah, and it went everywhere on the news.
Yeah, I saw it on CNN. I saw it on
The View. I never heard of this.
Katie and Hody, or whatever the names are.
Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Those two.
Yep.
Love them.
The drinkers.
He received thousands of emails, including 18 from actual Elizabeth Gallagher's with Canadian passports, which makes me laugh about these other fucking mooks who sent him something.
Right.
Like, you know, but there was a cute story about a kid. Anyway, he's chosen his travel mate. There's a 23-year-old student, part-time office administrator from Coal Harbor, Nova Scotia, strictly platonic, so they're going to be going around the world. And I thought, kind of fun that, you know, she has a boyfriend. Apparently he's, what does she say? He's not thrilled, but he understands she's always wanted to travel. So while he's not happy, I'm taking off for nearly a month at Christmas with a random guy. He's smiling through it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, and it's a long trip, too.
It is.
It's longer than, it's like more than 3 weeks.
It is. The trip is scheduled to start 2 days ago, December 21st in New York City, and continue to Milan, Prague, Paris, Bangkok, and New Delhi before ending in Toronto on January 12th.
Wow.
So it's a while. Aksani said that after the breakup, he deferred all the planning of the trip, such as making hotel reservations. So when the story became a big deal, Marriott International offered to put him and the new Elizabeth Gallagher up in separate rooms during their trip. I thought that was
pretty
cool. No,
that's very cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because everybody got a lot of publicity out of this.
And really just had, the tickets were purchased for a couple of $1,000s, but their cash value today is around like $4,400 to $6,200.
Wow.
So, yeah, but very fun for this young gal, 23 years old is going to travel
yeah,
the
and
world.
Yeah, and then she gets
He's
free.
He's 28.
And then you get the free rooms from Marriott.
Marriott.
I know, it's a charmer of a story. And the guy was, he was actually, and he's kind of cute too. So
some people were looking
at it as like a bachelorette kind of opportunity.
Mm.
But he was like, I'm not interested at all. I just don't want this ticket to go to waste. So if it's your name, get your own fucking room.
Yeah. I'm not interested in anything.
Yeah.
Right.
And I certainly am not interested in anything with her fucking name.
And it really and it's a real big fuck you to the first Mary Gallagher, whatever the hell her name was.
Mary, yeah.
What was her name? Yeah, right, exactly. I knew that was the name I was coming up with, but I couldn't remember what it was. Hammerschmidt.
Elizabeth.
Hammerschmidt.
Yeah.
But whatever.
John Jacob.
Jingle Hammerschmidt, right.
But very, very fun story. I just thought that was cute. That just for that. Fun.
Well, in these times where winter weather in certain areas of the country has become just horrible to deal with, officials in the state of South Dakota have removed their new campaign called Don't Jerk and Drive, safety campaign, after complaints about the sexual overtones of the message. And I will,
so bad.
And I will show you. This is what I'm showing you right now on the show.
It's a stable message.
The campaign, created by the state's Department of Public Safety, was meant to ask drivers not to overcorrect or jerk their steering wheels while driving on icy roads. But officials opted to kill the campaign after multiple complaints that the phrase wasn't really appropriate for anything.
No, it's definitely not appropriate.
I mean, really, you should think before you jerk. That was one of their...
Oh my gosh.
By the way,
and it's a little...
Somebody's just jerked all over the screen.
So there's that one. The other one is...
Yeah, look at that.
That car's got a
pearl
necklace.
That's a lot of kids.
So the Trevor Jones, a spokesperson for the DPS, says, "This is an important safety message, and I don't want this innuendo to distract from our goal to save lives on the road. Don't jerk and drive."
Can I tell you what I think is that they came up with a campaign.
No.
They realized the sexual undertones. So they thought it would be clever until people were like, not fucking cool. And they're like, what? Yeah. This is sexual? Because there's nobody that makes a campaign billboard that says, think before you jerk. Don't jerk on the road. Like, nobody thinks that's not sexual.
Right.
That's all that means is like, don't jerk off while you're driving.
Right.
Like,
but now they got their campaign across, but nobody knows what they're. That's a lot of white out.
It's all over the screen.
Way to bring it back, Richard.
I've been using that euphemism for like 2 weeks now. Yeah. All over the place, Like, making some white out. What are you
doing?
That's
awesome. That's very Festivus.
But remember, female ejaculation is illegal in Britain.
That true story.
It's devastating. Sorry.
Are you gonna be okay, dear? You're gonna be all right, dear.
I was so upset about the no ejaculation in Britain.
I'm terribly upset that Michelle Bachmann's going to be leaving us. I'm not kidding. Here's why. I want her to get the fuck out of office because she's such a problem. But what good fodder? I mean, for real.
Oh, she's good television,
She is good television. She's a fucking idiot. And really, her husband...
Got those cookies open to you, Katie? Jesus Christ.
Yes, her husband is just gay as Christmas.
Gayer.
Festivus.
He's gayer than Christmas.
He's gayer than Festivus.
Yeah.
And, you know, she keeps
he's
going...
He's one of the Festivus queers.
He's the most Festivus queer I've ever seen.
Because he's queer for the rest of us.
So, Bachmann keeps saying that she's retiring, right? Mm. Like, I'm retiring. No, she's not. Leaving disgraced amid criminal investigations.
Thank you, Marnie.
Really, really, really incredible.
Really, thank you for saying that.
It's so incredibly true. And what I love is that down here, where was it? Because I don't have this... As Tomo would be saying, I didn't have my papers out today. But she hates gay people. And
she just married one.
Well, true story. But
that can make you hate them.
This is a woman who absolutely hates gay people. She cannot stand Mexicans. She has such an issue casually suggesting with Hispanics that they are disease-ridden and inherently criminal. She hates gay people, rivaled only by colleague Rick Santorum. She's openly condescending about poor people, and she also makes a fool out of herself almost every time she opens her mouth.
Now, isn't she the one that said? Now, I never remember which idiot it was. Which idiot said that the founding fathers didn't rest until the slaves were freed?
Her.
I can't remember. I wasn't sure if it was her or. Or the other one, the winking imbecile. What's her name?
That's Sarah Palin.
The winking imbecile.
Shortly after the election, the FBI announced that Bachman and her husband Marcus, that'd be the gay guy.
Yeah.
Festivus boy.
I thought it was Scotty.
Marcus. Okay. Scotty might be the boyfriend.
He was her too.
The Festivus boy were currently under investigation for money laundering, wire fraud, and mail fraud. According to David Schuster of the Huffington Post, things do not look great for Bachman's defense. That she was merely surrounded by incompetent staff and had nothing to do with fraud. On her own.
Yeah.
She was surrounded by incompetent staff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
She's incompetent.
Like, is it Michael Grimm? Is it the Staten Island congressman that pleaded guilty to all his charges yesterday? And
I don't know.
He was on trial for fraud. Not on trial. During the election, and he won. He won his seat again.
Right.
And he gets sworn in. He's not resigning, and no one's making him resign. He pleaded guilty to all counts, I think, late last night or early today.
Unbelievable.
And people are calling for his resignation, and he's like, well, why?
Unbelievable.
Wait, I'm sorry. I missed that because I was reading this funny book. I'll read to you guys later, but what?
I think his name is Michael Grimm. He's the one that threatened the CNN reporter when the CNN reporter...
Oh, yes. And he was like, I'll throw you over the fucking balcony.
Yeah.
That's him. Well, he pleaded guilty to all charges today, but he's not giving up his seat in Congress.
Because why would you?
Right.
Why would
you
give up your...
And nobody's asking for it.
No, they are.
I thought you said that nobody was making a stink about it.
No, everybody is asking for it, but the tan crier's name? Boner. Boehner.
Boehner.
Boehner and...
yes, Boehner. Yes, I got it. Yeah. Yep.
Boehner is like... Well, why? Why would we ask him to step down?
Because
he's a criminal.
Oh my God!
Yeah. And not even a smooth criminal,
Michael Grimm.
End of this, as we take in Michelle Bachman's farewell tour, because she is hitting up the major networks for interviews,
and
the biggest deal is that because she's leaving, she can do that. She can, like, get all this money.
She's so horrible.
She's awful.
We should keep
in mind that she's not leaving on her own terms. She's been ousted by her own vileness as she puts together a campaign for her inevitable, and she can do this, 2016 presidential run.
Go, please. Please run for president.
We must never forget why she isn't still in office in
please
the first
run
place.
For president.
But because she's leaving in the please. Way that she is, she can fucking run for president.
No, I hope she does. I hope she runs.
Anybody can run. Why would she be
because
able to?
Because there are issues with...
Oh, right. As long as she's not convicted.
Right.
But
I hope she runs for president because she won't win and it will bolster the Democratic ticket. Really?
Well, no, but there's something else, and I'll look it up. There's another reason as well that if she were to stay in office... And they were to find issues. Mm. Then it's some other big... She couldn't get interviews. She couldn't get money for...
There's a silence piece of that maybe. Yeah.
Right. There's something else.
Something about a conviction while seated in office, blah, blah, blah. Right. Sure.
That's right. Interesting. Right.
But Michael Grimm pleaded guilty Tuesday to a federal tax fraud charge, underreported the earnings of his Manhattan restaurant, evading taxes on $1 million.
What the...
He's truly, truly sorry for the mistakes that he has made as a small business owner.
Did he pray for it? Did he pray and ask for redemption?
Before he was in office. As long as I'm able to serve, I'm going to serve. Now, this is a felony. This is a felony, which is what we always talk about with pot convictions, that you lose your right to vote. You're immediately disenfranchised.
Oh, my God.
So here's a guy that should lose his ability to vote in an election, but he's going to
Vote in the Congress.
Yep. Right. And John Boehner says, we don't have any announcement until the speaker discusses the matter with Mr. Grimm. No, you discuss it with the courts.
You discuss it. There's no discussion. He is convicted of a felony.
Assistant U.S. District
even
Assistant U.S. Attorney Anthony...
He's admitted.
Copazzolo said Grimm faces a 24 to 30 month prison term under federal guidelines, while defense attorneys estimated the sentence to be 12 to 18 months. He only serves for 2 years. So either he's going to miss...
Those assholes would probably let him stay in Congress while he was in prison. And at that point...
Probably.
At that point, they wouldn't notice. I have to pull the old, which I hate when people pull the old moving to Canada moment. But I gotta fucking leave. You gotta leave if your congressman is able to actively serve from prison.
Right.
For a felony.
Okay. Michael just got to leave.
Or if you're a congressperson, is a
so here's some good news. Michael Long, chairman of the New York State Conservative Party, said he understands Grimm's instinct to hold on to a seat, but said it's ultimately up to the courts and House leadership. If he gets prison time, I believe he's going to be forced to resign.
But maybe not.
I mean, maybe he can get work release.
Yeah, you know, I got it.
They only have to show up for the vote.
I have a DUI. I got it released.
My follow-up question to you, though, is now the reason that one of the reasons why she didn't run again was because in 2012, she barely won, and they thought she couldn't stand up to another Democratic foe in a general election.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was so close. But in this Republican landslide, was her seat filled by a Republican or by a Democrat?
No, as far as the Democrat, it was Republican, because this area is hugely red. But almost was won by Jim Graves, who it wasn't even a thing. Like, nobody thought that could happen, and all of a sudden the Democrats went, oh, shit.
Yeah.
We should have done more, but we never
thought.
That's
what I was wondering, because she decided she wasn't running very early because she almost lost that seat.
Right.
And then with this Republican landslide, she could have gotten in again, and then they'd have two people that were guilt. But this fucker pleaded guilty. Like, he didn't even go through. He's not even.
He just said, "Yeah, I did this." Oh, I hate him.
You're out.
I hate him so much.
Plus, he threatened a guy on CNN on TV, and they didn't throw him out. He threatened to kill somebody.
I will
CNN.
Throw you over this balcony, you little fucker.
But, yeah.
Oh my god! And we like really like him representing the people.
Well, he's kind of very Staten Island.
Yeah, so maybe he really does it. But they're like, listen, he's our guy. Yeah. Like, he does it like it is.
You should go over the balcony.
Fuck! I hate
the kind of funny.
All right, as we wrap up this section, we're going to just run down the top 10 fake TV holidays that have come from the lovely television series. Starting with the number 10 Christmaka, which comes from the OC. where apparently they have 8 days of presents fall by one huge day of presents, according to what that's how the TV show worked.
That's fun.
The Festival of Bells was from a Muppet Family Christmas where they had some crazy ritual. They had to give a pebble to each other over and over. It's kind of silly. The animated series Ren and Stimpy had Yaxmas.
Yeah,
yes. Yaxmas is upon us. Every child dreams of seeing Stinky Whizzle Teats as he floats through the air on his enchanted canoe.
Oh, I like that.
It is funny. Also, if you've been nice, he gives you lots of sausage and pre-chewed bubble gum for your whole family to enjoy.
Oh, delicious.
Now, another one that Al was wondering earlier, Weasel Stomping Day is from the animated series Robot Chicken. Grab your heaviest boots and your Viking helmet, and don't forget to smear the lawn with mayonnaise to attract your furry victims. Weasel Stomping Day happens every year on the fictional date of June 31st.
Oh, I love
and
it.
And is just one example of a holiday PETA would hate.
But I'm in for so many different reasons.
But boy, there's nothing like the sound of cracking weasel bones.
on freshly spread mayonnaise.
What does a weasel look like? I gotta Google that.
Merlin Peen, the Verdukian holiday of mouth pleasures from 30 Rock. I don't remember this, but
I do.
If you want to get out of of a confusing secret Santa, invent a religion. Merlin Peen is one of the most celebrated traditions of Verdukianism and allows adherents to leave work early so they can go to a movie. That sounds like something for you, Al.
Adherence.
The TV series Refrigerator Day. The TV series Dinosaurs gave us Refrigerator Day. Before the refrigerator, dinosaurs roamed for food. So the most important holiday celebrates this life-changing invention. Fridge Day is the dinosaurs' answer to Christmas. Whacking Day is from The Simpsons. This ritual is not for the faint of heart. Every May 10th, the episode of the people of Springfield lure snakes into town and beat them with wooden clubs.
sorry.
Apparently one season, Bart and Barry White actually did it together. Freedom Day, Robonica is from Futurama, another animated series. Don't know anything about that. The Star Wars Holiday Special gave us Life Day. The sacred Wookiee ritual of Life Day is celebrated by the residents of Kashyyyk to remember family members who've passed away. Blah, 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 blah. And the number one, which we've been saying all night, from Seinfeld, the 1997 episode of Seinfeld, Festivus. Dig that pole out of the crawl space, prepare for the feats of strength, and make sure you've got plenty of grievances to air. Festivus time is here. Frank Costanza invented the celebration to fight holiday consumerism after getting into a fist fight over a doll for his son, who doesn't love a celebration where you tell all your friends and family that how they've disappointed you. December 23rd is Festivus for the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Oh, that's very a lovely nice. Thing.
Well, yeah, Richard, I'm with you on the mouth pleasures. That's all right. I'll celebrate that with you.
Who wouldn't? Okay, we turn it all over to the one and
wait,
only.
Wait, did you had a story you wanted to finish with?
Oh, wait, you had one more?
That was actually, no, I just changed some things around. So it wasn't, because it wasn't really a story. It was the porn. Santa Claus coming.
Santa porn.
Oh, yeah. Santa Claus is
so,
coming to town.
Thank you, though, but
gotcha.
I've blocked that out entirely.
Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it again later.
Weird. We love the crabby.
I don't want to know about that.
Let's turn our attention, like we can help it, to Al Perkins and
hey,
some
I
entertainment.
You all talk tonight. Well, it's pretty much all going to be about hacking and Sony and everything else, because that's just crazy.
It is.
Lots of finales and people going away and a death and... and hopefully I had a story for Katie over... Lady Katie. I can't get your name right today. And there's a documentary in January that looks really good. I don't have a lot for this one, but... That never stops me.
No. Why let that get in the way of true journalism?
Seriously. Yeah. I don't let stuff like that get me down.
Let's not get crazy.
Whoa. Look at that.
What do you got?
Oh, Helen about him? Yeah. Oh,
I didn't know about that.
They were never married. It was never meant to be.
Oh, I thought
she got all the, she got all the roles out of him. She was going to Helena Bonham Carter and Tim
and
Burton.
Tim Burton broke
yeah,
up.
Split
up.
I didn't so. Realize that. I guess I thought they had been together. For
they
like
were together
ever.
For so long.
And I 13 years. Yeah. And I like that she always pretended she auditioned to be in his movies. Bitch. Festivus.
Festivus, I say. The guy.
Utter and complete
that
bullshit.
That is what I say.
So for those of you that are trying to see movies, Wide and Foxcatcher went wide, so they're in more theaters. Please catch both of them. They're really good. Homeland had its finale. Excellent season for anybody that gave up after season 3 or when season 4 comes out on DVD. Do not miss it. It's renewed for season 5. Season 4 was amazing.
I took a little while and I'm not caught up entirely yet, but you've obviously seen the whole thing. When he meets his uncle out in the desert.
Oh, crazy.
With the drone. It was a heart stopping moment. Like I was kind of wrapping gifts and watching and I was just like.
And just to let you know, no one is safe. And nothing is safe. Like
it's just, so fucking good.
That show just, I mean, everybody
it's
is...
just very, very smartly written.
Oh, and they're back.
Yeah.
There was a big thing with the torture report coming out. And did we talk about that last year? That they were saying all that stuff about liberals kind of carrying the water with 24? That I always thought that 24 was written by crazy Republicans because they were so pro-torture. And they
no,
always
I
had
thought
that.
It was... I mm-mm. love that show.
I know, but it was very pro-torture.
Yeah, you're right.
They're the ones that came up with that whole ticking bomb thing that everybody in America bought into. I'm like, it's a TV show.
Sure.
Like, that Jack Bauer always got information out of someone by torturing them.
Right.
Well, it turns out, no, they're really, like, Hollywood liberals. And that's who writes Homeland.
Oh,
which
yeah,
also has more than its share of torture in it. So whoever these guys are, they are just fast. One of them is from Dexter.
They're smart and it's like smart writing.
It is, but until
it's
you
intriguing.
Realize, like, as this all comes out, like that article that I read, they were the water carriers for making people okay with torture in this decade. Like
they get and they like know what's going on.
Yeah, but it's still bad. Like we're gonna see what your television tells you. Torture still wrong. and then there was all kinds of goodbyes this week. Craig Ferguson's.
Yeah.
Finale was very nicely done with Joffrey and Jeff. Yeah,
Jeff the robot.
Is that the robot?
Alex Trebek
and drums. Now I can't remember.
Oh, that opening. That whole opening. We stood on the desk and did that whole song.
Yeah.
Which was akin to, in fact, it sounded a lot like, I thought it was they were redoing the theme to the show live, and then I realized it's not. It's from some other group that he really likes.
Yeah, and I can't think of it either, because there was so much on, and I forgot to write it down, but you can, it's on YouTube, it's on CBS.com, and it was really nicely done. It was a nice tribute. Colbert's finish was amazing.
Yes.
And sad and lovely, and the song was from Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. It's the song. As
very interesting ending to the whole thing, where you realize, like when I posted that thing about where it comes from, his childhood and how...
Oh, that song, yeah. And then there was another song at the end. Like, first they all sang a song, which was... That's the song from Dr. Strangelove, was the one that all the celebrities were singing.
And my God, the people in that sound studio.
That was serious. Wow. That was really amazing. That
Henry Kissinger.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Everybody was there. It was a crazy. Did you see the last Colbert?
I read an article about the closing credit song.
Yes or no would have sufficed, Katie. Yeah. No,
but there was survey says.
But that's no. Everybody's getting the two confused. First, he sang a song with like every celebrity in Hollywood and from real.
I gotta
news,
Google it.
Newscast. They sang a song and it's a song from there. And then the credits rolled after a song by a band he likes that he did in tribute to his father and his two slightly older brothers that were killed in a plane crash. That he just identified with them.
I didn't know his brothers were killed.
He's from a big family, and like
he was the youngest of eight.
Yeah, and the two that were closest in age to him and his dad died in a plane crash. The older ones went to school, so he's felt kind of alone. And that was this song, and it's a more recent song, "Home Away" or "Home." I can't think of what the name.
Neutral Milk Hotel.
Yes, that's the name of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And that song is lovely, but the one that they sang, and I didn't write anything down from it because I just assumed you all were watching it. So.
I didn't write it either, but I totally watched
Holland,
it.
Holland, 1945.
That's the song at the closing credits, but the song that they sang, that everybody sang, and it's a beautiful...
We'll see you again. Don't know where or when, but we'll see you again. It just repeats and repeats and repeats.
Yeah. And it's a song that they play as the nuclear bombs drop all over the world and the world is blowing up.
That's sure.
Because it's his immortality. It's very good. And then, and one that not a lot of people knew, Candy Crowley just secretly and silently decided to...
Slip out of CNN.
Slip out of CNN after 27 years. She's been there longer than Wolf Blitzer. She was there when CNN...
I saw that today and I was at lunch. I was like, really? How did I not know about that?
Yes, and she thought...
Like she was going to call me. I didn't think she was going to call me.
Right. And then she made the announcement either right after last Sunday's Meet the Press. No, they're not Meet the Press.
State of the Union.
And then she did it, and she assumed she was leaving because the week before Christmas is traditionally such a slow news week that she thought she was going to go out on a slow news week, and she went out in one of the biggest news cycles we've had in like 5 years. And like every single day, a news story broke that could have taken up a whole week, and they had to keep going back and forth to like, Russia's tanking. We have new relations with Cuba. We're in a cyber terrorism war with North Korea.
Right.
Grand juries being indicted. Cops being assassinated. I mean, it was just like every single fucking story should have covered a whole week, and they had to cover like newspapers were like, what? You could see them on CNN like, breaking news! Breaking news!
Real breaking news! Legitimate.
They didn't have time to examine it from every single angle.
Yes, exactly.
And there's a guy in a cockpit trying to fly that Malaysia plane again, and we're like, oh no, sweetheart. We got news now, buddy. You're out. So her last show on Sunday was really nicely done. They had a nice little tribute to her first time. Getting called on by Reagan was her first time at the in the press corps for a White House press briefing with Ronald Reagan, and he was told her name. And then Obama did his last press conference of the year and only called on women.
Women, I saw that.
Wow.
Yeah, so he made a big deal out of that, and it was a tribute, not to her specifically, but it was
just to women in media.
It was a tribute to women and the fact that they used to always say that they would have to wear red or bold colors just to be noticed in the room.
Good for him.
They were often overlooked.
You know what? I hate all the stupid shit. People don't love Obama. I love him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was just here's a guy that's going down swinging.
For this and a million other things, but I love him. Right. I really love my president, and I'm proud of him, and I love him.
And way to keep the news cycle off.
I do, yeah.
No. That came out wrong.
Yeah. I was like, wow, something you want to tell us?
Yeah.
Obama,
which is fine if you don't, but like
that came out wrong. That
Palmer's learning her presidents, and I made her I said, "Who's our president right now?" And she goes, "I mean, obviously she wouldn't know." Right. And so we're learning how to say Barack Obama, and then I said, "And now say I love Barack Obama." I'm like, "We love him, baby."
Liberal indoctrination.
I'm not happy about the companion law, but whatever. That matters. The companion law being repealed. But
what's that?
I don't even know the companion law.
Time out.
Yep, I'm real familiar with it.
What is it?
It's the fact that people have to be now paid overtime to provide direct care, which if you're, you know, to a degree, I get that. But to go into it more would be just
Okay.
So, in the weeds.
But yeah. I mean, hospitals, you can work in hospitals, you can work in nursing homes, you can work CNA, nursing, different things like this, and work as many hours as you're choosing to, and you get paid time and a half, and it's set up that way.
So but, if you want to work 40 hours, great. If you want to work 70 hours, super.
Yeah. Yeah. And now we'll go under as a company if we had to pay time and a half. Because of the companion law, because of bigger companies that were screwing the little people, basically.
Oh, so you're getting Walmarted.
In a lot of ways, yeah. So it's just, and it's all coming up, and it changes January 1st. And
oh, wow.
It's really disheartening, but digress.
So she got,
I'm sure it's good for somebody.
But Candy Crowley got the interview with Obama, which, again, should have been the start of a lame duck session. The news should be about the Republicans taking over Congress, but you know, New York giving out money for cameras on cops, relations with Cuba, taking a little bit of credit for throwing Russia under the bus, and like all these different things that he's doing. And it was really very funny that she landed this interview that should have been an end of the year no brainer. It was one of the hottest interviews going before vacation to get him to talk about stuff. So it really was nicely done. There's a documentary on CNN January, I think it's January 4th. I didn't write down any dates. So everybody's got to look it up for yourself. It's about Roger Ebert. It's called Life Itself.
Yeah, I saw
it's
the
made
preview.
All the festival rounds all summer. Everyone is raving about this was a man who loved movies and everything else. And it's like a little love letter to him. And then sadly, Joe Cocker dies.
Yeah.
Who was far younger than I thought.
Me too.
I was shocked.
I agree.
He was only 70. Huh. I was expecting him to be, he was at Woodstock for the love of Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I really did think he was at least 10 years older than that.
Famous forever. The guy just kept coming. Just when you thought you'd written him off, he came back with another song and the beautiful Love Lift Us Up Where We Belong from Officer and a Gentleman. And
I couldn't watch him, though.
Huh?
I couldn't watch him for
No, because he looked like he had eight different diseases at the same time.
Cerebral
the man looked
palsy,
like
right. That's why that clip that I posted of him and Patti LaBelle singing "You Are So Beautiful" is fantastic, because it looks like two people having an epileptic seizure while singing to each other. I love it. I absolutely love that. If you can find it, go on YouTube, look up You Are So Beautiful, Patti LaBelle, Joe Cocker, Motown at the Apollo, and just watch. I just think it's fantastic.
I love it.
And the absolute best is with a little help from my friend.
That is a good song.
Just made it his own. And
I agree.
What do you see when you turn out the light? I can't tell you, but I know it's mine. I just love that.
Yep.
So, and not a lot of obituary. I mean, there wasn't, most obituaries were like a paragraph long. They were really short.
That's positive.
Yeah.
It's a long battle with lung cancer.
Right. But I mean, they had no accolades for his career or anything. They were like,
oh, that's weird.
They made it sound like he sang two
songs.
Yeah,
he
had this, and that was it. Yeah,
I mean,
it Ringo Starr that did a tweet about him from one of your friends?
Yeah,
he did a nice little tweet out for
nice.
His,
if I'm not mistaken, with a little help from my friends, is a Ringo
song.
I'm pretty. I'll Google it in a minute, but I don't think that's a Lennon McCartney song. I don't think, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
And then finally, Sony and the hackers in a story that just keeps changing every single fucking day.
So, yeah, well, I feel like they're weird lying about.
I feel like I haven't been following this. Is there a Cliff's Notes that can be?
Yes. So a couple of weeks ago, Sony Studios, Amy Pascal and Scott Rudin. And Scott Rudin always...
They hate black people. Go on.
No, they don't. Always... No. And we all would make the same joke. And it's one of those things that has to stop because...
It's just funny. Because that everyone's like, they hate black people. They hate Adam Sandler. They definitely hate Adam Sandler.
And they hate Angelina Jolie.
They hate them all.
And it really was. I mean, half the stuff we say on the show is worse than anything they said.
I would say the majority of stuff we say on this show. But we're not
Sony.
Right. But Scott...
not yet.
The second half of the thing is Scott Rudin. And if Scott Rudin makes a movie or a TV show, you go. Broadway show, Scott Rudin, we're in. He's one of the good gays. He's a great guy. So
gotta Google his face.
Then you would never know his face. He's always behind the scenes.
I just want to know it.
I think he's older and balding, if I'm not mistaken.
Hashtag good.
Anyways, so it started off with those two's emails, and then it turns out that like Sony executives, all their private emails about like how much money people wanted, shit about Angelina Jolie, Leonardo DiCaprio backing out of a movie for money, They had a thing about...
Ooh, yeah, he did so many good movies. Angelina Jolie Country for Old Men, The Social Network, The Way Blood, The Truman Show.
And then go to his Broadway shows, go to his TV shows. Mm. He is one of like the...
The Newsroom.
Yeah, he's just fantastic. So then they did a thing. Scott and Amy did an email together about a screening for Obama. And they said, well, we should we get like 12 Years a Slave and a Kevin Hart movie? Which, yes, it comes off as a racist joke. But then again, if you're having black people over for drinks, should we get a bottle of Hennessy? Probably. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, sure. Because you know what?
Yeah. Probably.
Hennessy and pineapple juice is actually tasty. I drank it at Carimba's one night and I blacked out for 2 days.
Wow.
From our Welcome to Cape Cod section.
Festivus for Katie.
So not to excuse, I'm sure they're, you know, horrible people and she's probably going to lose her job over this shit.
But she will. Somebody has to lose. Well, I would imagine somebody's gonna.
And the problem is that as Sony was trying to get people's attention to say, this is not Hollywood gossip, stop TMZ and all you people.
Yeah, stop this.
Stop putting out the stories about what we're saying about Angelina Jolie and face the fact that Sony's a Japanese company that's run in One Division is in America. Mm-hmm. This is an international company that just got hacked to its highest levels. Sure. They released Annie. They released the interview online.
And then you can find it?
Yeah, they've been online for weeks.
Oh.
And there was another movie that came out a couple of weeks ago that they thought that might have hurt its box office was the fact that it was they had hacked it and put it online. The scripts for Star Wars.
Can I ask you, like, where do you like? People always do that. They're like, oh, you can find it online. I can't. I don't know how to find that.
I don't
online.
Know either. I'm just saying that they've been up there for weeks, and whether or not someone finally got them down. But the news cycles were going over and over and over about the gossip, and Sony finally hired a lawyer that said, if you keep publishing this, it's stolen items, there's a crime going on.
Oh.
Will somebody please pay attention to the crime and stop focusing on the fact that one of us doesn't like Angelina Jolie?
Right.
There's a real story here, but the news cycle missed it. Then it turns out North Korea had hacked it trying to get the interview stopped from being shown in theaters, and then they went one step further because no one was taking it seriously. Everyone thought it was a publicity stunt by Sony. And was so
at
caught
first.
Up. Yeah, was so, yeah. Because the news never gave you anything except for news about George Clooney's private email.
Yeah, who fucking cares? But sucks.
But you're missing the point. Like, Target lost all their credit cards. Home Depot lost all their credit. You know what I mean? All their credit card users' accounts were hacked. So there's all these places that it's not safe to use your credit card. There's a real story here in that all this was going on. Well, then they said the hackers came out and they're called Guardians of Peace or Guardians for Peace. They came out and said that if a theater shows it, they were going to have 9/11 style attacks on the theaters. Right. So now you have...
The news story changed once that came out.
Right, because then all of a sudden everybody was like, oh, wait, an international company, a Japanese-American company is not only like losing millions of dollars while we're watching... But they've just threatened 9/11 attacks on American soil
It's Christmas time.
On Christmas Day. Right. Mm-hmm. So then the story changes. Well, then the theater owners, especially AMC, is very gun-shy, pardon the pun, after the Batman incident where they shot up a theater.
It's
at
awful.
At the Batman thing. They said, no, not taking any chances. We've already been attacked 9/11 style.
Which I get.
Right.
Yeah.
So they said, no, AMC's just going to pass on this one. And then Regal and one other group said they won't do it either. Cinemark. So then the American public realized, holy shit, well, we've all been jacking off to a story about Angelina Jolie and a joke about Kevin Hart movies.
Which one wouldn't you?
We've been threatened as a nation, and somebody just decided what we can or can't see as far as art. And everybody's like, well, it's just a silly movie. Right, but what if somebody decides it's going to be a documentary about, like, the war or it's something about...
How North Korea runs
but anything,
their country.
It could be any political group, or what if it's some crazy religious group in the that doesn't want a story about dinosaurs that makes dinosaurs real? Like, just think it through for a second of where it's going and the censorships. So Obama gets on television, again, it's supposed to be a nothing news week, and all of a sudden he's saying this is a huge First Amendment issue, and all the news people, now they're trying to catch up and be like, fuck damn, we all are trying to say we're legitimate news sources, and we just drove right past it.
Mm-hmm. Like an actual news story in lieu of, like, oh, everybody hates Adam Sandler.
Right. It really was.
Because that was all I heard about it at first. And it was literally, like, 40,000, like, Gawker and BuzzFeed and blah, 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 was all about
Right.
Adam Sandler's stupid. People,
that is the part that Gawker and BuzzFeed, the part they should
but
focus on.
But that's what
on.
The Today Show picked up and what ABC 15 picked up and what Channel 12 picked
all
up.
All the people
and,
that were legitimate news sources all missed the big story. And it was that it was leading up to a threat of an attack on a, like, that's kind of high alert. When And then it turns out they had proof it was North Korea. They knew it was them. And now everybody's like, don't back down. I'll stand in line. Like, everybody wanted, even the Republicans were like, this is not this, right. We even, get to see whatever we want to.
Even the Republicans, this should be like a Republican like rally cry. Totally like this should be like the Republicans like bandstanding.
And they are. And like John McCain and I were like twice in the same month on the same page of like, no, you don't get to dictate what we can or can't watch. Mm-hmm. And Obama went on TV and called the, and said Sony were cowards for not showing it and stand up for it. And they were like, no, it was the theaters. So now
yeah, I heard that so they now, really put it back on the theaters.
Yeah, so Sony said the interview would not come out on DVD. It would not stream. They were not going to subject anybody to it, and everybody had a fit.
Yep.
Like,
it's bullshit.
And it turns out George Clooney, who everyone was ignoring, went to every studio head, like even international studios, and asked them to stand behind Sony and be like, if we all distribute it, mm-hmm. like, let's all be honorary distributors and, like, say that this has to go on. And
then you can't blow up everybody.
And get, and yeah, but that's just it. But just to say, like, we are going to stand behind this, everyone ignored him, but now it's a big thing because everyone caught that it was a news story. So now Sony's letting independent theaters voluntarily take it, and the number's gone up. It was at, like, 25 as of like this morning, and then it was at 50 a couple hours later.
Even Kelly is like a big movie and she wants to see all the movies, and she could given a shit less about this. So she's now, and I don't think she's not doing it for like the social justice reason, but she's like, well, fuck, if everybody says I shouldn't see it, I want to go see it.
Right.
You know? And so now she's like, let's do
only,
it.
As I understand, the only one in the Valley that is showing it Christmas Day is the one on Mill. That little.
And I was hoping, I hadn't heard, but I was hoping that Harkins would stand up.
Yeah. They're doing it.
And I figured it'd be the, I thought maybe the
Good
Valley
for Harkins.
Art. Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yep.
But I thought Harkins might stand up and show it somewhere.
Gotta love Harkins.
Yeah, well, so there. And Harrison says the art house theaters have volunteered to show the film. And I think I saw something from like New York City, like secret viewings of the film. And
also,
but it started
Ultra Auction Cinema.
Yeah,
is that where you are?
No.
Perfect. Well, they're showing it.
Good.
Yeah. It started in Atlanta. It was little theaters in Atlanta that volunteered first, and then it was, I think Houston was the second city, or Austin, and then it started to like go out, and then so now LA has picked it up. It wasn't, as I said, but they were saying it was going to start snowballing today because everyone now is feeling the backlash of like, oh fuck, like the news divisions are all like, I wish Newsroom was on one more year, because the Newsroom would have had a fucking day with this shit. But it really was just such an interesting story. And when it first came out, there were people that were like, you know, there's a news story here, right? Mm-hmm. And the people on CNN were like, I know. And they're like, and the lady from Gawker was like, well, this is our job, but why are you reporting on it? And they would have like, you know, the three people, they'd have like someone that hated Obama, someone who loved Obama, and then the lady from Gawker. And she's like sitting there laughing like, I should be reporting on gossip about Angelina Jolie.
You guys
are news. Right. And that's when, and you could see it kind of click in Anderson Cooper's blue eyes of like, oh fuck, we're all in trouble. And you could just watch them as that one day went on that they're like, TMZ's making fun of us.
Yeah.
We might be coming at this at the wrong angle. Like, we're in the same car with TMZ.
Yeah.
What are we doing wrong?
That's a problem.
So, yeah. But they drove right past it. So it's been an interesting story all month long. And now, as of today, they're trying to get it into these independent theaters. And then the theater chains had to make up other stuff. And then Annie was leaked and got horrible reviews.
Horrible.
So they've had the press written for weeks that the reason that Annie's going to bomb this week is because of the leak, that the movie was already available online and people had already stolen it. But it's just, it's craziness. Crazy.
Craziness.
And then yesterday, mysteriously, North Korea's internet went down.
Oops. Radio silence.
But it turns out that they don't have the internet like we have the internet. Like, most of the country couldn't even tell you what the internet was. Mm-hmm. I think they have 100 to 110 IP addresses, where we have 1.5 billion.
Right.
Or 150 billion.
I have 300 of them myself.
Right. So they don't have, not that many people use it, but they shut them down. Mm-hmm. And then I guess if they do use the internet, it's all monitored. And the rest of the people that think they have the internet really have an intranet that's only available in Korea, and you can only see
intranet.
It's craziness. So it's really crazy to see this. But in what we would do, like, someone kind of just made a threatened an act of terrorism.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and then they're saying there's no way for them to carry it through, but all you need is one fucker like the guy in Australia. All you need is one asshole.
One crazy guy.
So Harrison is saying that the Lamel group in LA was the first to volunteer to show it. I mean, which is just interesting, but leave it to LA. Thanks, guys, for standing up.
Yep, absolutely.
But they might be the first ones in LA, but I'm pretty sure it's a group in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Because I when I checked the list this morning, there was only two cities on it, and it was Atlanta, and I can't think of it was somewhere in Texas, and it was strange that it was Texas, but a weird thing. So that was just an odd news story.
Shenanigans
with North fucking Korea. Yeah.
Yeah, oh. I have that.
But it turns out he's Kim Jong Un likes American movies,
sure.
Is into American culture. So
he's a pretty young guy. Yeah,
I'm thinking every movie he watched is a trailer. Every stolen
DVD. He's a pretty young guy.
He is young.
Yeah.
He's only
20. Oh yeah, he's very young. He's very fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Well, sure, but I mean, he's been. He's been indoctrinated in crazy. Like, that's his whole, like, family and everything. Right. Like,
and they sell it.
Crazy. Right. And, yeah, it's encouraged.
And then, but SNL stood up, and they did their, Bobby Moynihan, is that his name? He does him. And he started to do something, and then they whisked him off. But they had Mike Myers on in the open, being Dr. Evil.
Oh, sure.
Like,
I haven't seen it. I heard about it.
Yeah, so everybody's got
I actually watched that entire episode of SNL and laughed where I did not think I would laugh at all. I was here. I happened to be here on Saturday night when
they've
it was
been on.
It was funny.
They've been on a 4-week roll since.
It'll come to a crashing halt, I'm sure.
They usually are when there's good shit happening in the news. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, when Kristen Wiig shows back up and did that thing on the Weekend Update about the Jewish songs. God, it was funny.
Oh, they're a Cat and Cat and whatever their name is.
Yes. All right, it's the show. We're in the middle of entertainment. Got a couple of Katie June. Kat Carlson's got stuff too. We'll talk. We'll be here. Don't go away.
Listening to the show on Hugh Talk America. This is Hugh Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening again, everybody. It is 9 o'clock here in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm not sure what time it is where you are, but I bet it's the top of the hour. This is the show. It's Q Talk America. Katie June, Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins rounding out our cast. We are in the middle of, are you done? Or do you have more entertainment?
Oh, no, that was it.
Al was yakking about entertainment stuff. By the way, our drinking word is Festivus. So drink.
For the rest of
enjoy.
Us.
Enjoy a beverage.
As an NPR an hour ago, they're up to 200 theaters.
Oh.
God.
Very cool. Well, alrighty then. Let's continue on as we do. Already said drinking word. We're good with that, right? Blah, blah, fucking blah. And we'll start with this with some Katie June in sports and other, just whatever the hell she's got.
Yeah, so I'm calling it now National Pastime.
Yay!
Sports, politics, and gay shit. So this day in history, 103-year-old golfer makes history. The NFL is basically worth 15 years of your life. High school athlete star comes out. We're finally ending a lifetime gay ban on blood. Did you hear Mitch's rebuttal? And also the Totes Redictionary in National Pastimes.
Alrighty.
So I want to start with the Totes Redictionary. As I'm reading this incredibly ridiculous book, I'm recognizing that majority of the words on the front of this book I actually use, including ox, amazeballs, adorbs, ovs, chillax, natch, selfie, perf, whatevs, totes, hilaire, presh, gorge, twerk, cray cray. Totes. I literally use all of the words on the front of this dictionary.
The book was written.
It then goes
by
on.
We're just totes
for Katie June.
Yeah.
To describe totes, amazeballs, obs, adorbs, which I use all of those words. And then it talks about how sad and embarrassing I am. And then says, we are living.
Sad and embarrassing?
Both.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'd like you to read that verbatim, though.
Yeah. Well, here's what it says. Let's see. Totes, amazeballs, adorbs, obs. If you have an internet connection, chances are you have at least a passing acquaintance with abbreviations such as these. And if you regularly spend time on social networking sites like Twitter and Facebook, chances are that said abbreviations are either the bane of your life or your second language. If you like it, Beyonce once sagely advised, put a ring on it. And then here it goes. We're living through our phones and computers like never before, and with little concern for sounding like speech-impaired halfwits, more and more of us... Yeah, more and more of us are mixing up our typing and talking voices, parenthetically, particularly if we're between aged 16 and 35 and nurse an iPhone addiction alongside a mild drinking problem.
Motherfucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm outside the window. Outside the window.
No, this book was literally written for me and potentially by me. I may have been drunk. I don't know.
Oh, it's good.
So the way to go, bag of nope with the totes dictionary. Excited about that.
I like it.
It's fun.
So,
right, can I just provide a quick update? I mean, to shit.
I hope you would. Yes.
Okay. So this was
that's my segment.
Yeah, I'll shit on yours in a different way. It was the surprise salvage of the interview's release started with emails amid the chaos of Sony's hacking crisis sent between this Alamo Draft House impresario Tim League, Tim Massett of Florida Sun Cinema, and George R.R. Martin of Game of Thrones. And Santa Fe, New Mexico, Austin, Texas, and these people, this guy in Atlanta are who got this ball started. And they sent the word out to independent art house theater, and now they're doing it like a limited release. And the guy, I think it's pronounced Lammel Theaters, but I'm not sure. So just interesting how these, it was small business owners that an independent theater, so please support them, got this going, and now... Harkins locally is involved, so support your local theaters. I love AMC, but support your local theaters. Harkins are great.
I really like
Harkins.
And I've
been to and I don't know how to pronounce it, but the Lammel Theaters is wonderful. I've seen a couple things there when I go out there and make Harrison see movies she's never heard of and usually hates.
Sure.
But like, thank you, Harrison, like, for attending this.
But she really loved the In a World movie because that was hysterical.
That one keeps coming up on my Netflix. I gotta watch that.
Fucking good. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So in 1914, on this day, over 577,000 Allied soldiers had to spend their Christmas holiday as prisoners in Germany. Kind of interesting. That was in 1914.
That's heartwarming.
Is that from the movie?
I mean, it's not heartwarming, but it's pretty tough.
Thing that happened.
In 1956, African Americans defy a city law in Tallahassee, Florida, and occupy front bus seats. So God bless them.
And something in that World War One story is that on a midnight clear, where the soldiers have Christmas together and the battlefield,
during the soccer.
They had a.
That might not be on this particular day in history.
Yeah, but it's probably like some.
Actually, it was last Sunday. Sunday. Because they did it on Sunday, the CBS Morning Show.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Oh, no, but it was actually Christmas Eve. They realized
the CBS Morning Show, by the way.
But they realized it was Christmas Eve when they were fighting and they stopped. And it wasn't like. It was just these troops. Across from each other on one thing, they went together.
What an interesting
celebrated
way.
Christmas, and the next day they went back to war. But for
it's
one night,
it's very strange to think of how war used to happen. Mm-hmm. How they would, you know, I remember my parents when I was in high school drove us up, down the country, and then up the East Coast, like down the south, down through the South, up the East Coast.
That was
horrible. That's a thing. And up the East Coast. And we visited all the battlefields. And, like, I was a freshman in high school. And I hated everybody and everything.
A yucky, rotten teenager.
Yeah. I would love to redo that as an adult where I give a shit. Because how interesting.
And to go to Gettysburg
and
all those places.
I visited all those places and I just didn't really care. But, like, how cool is to think about those things as an adult and how war happened. That you would stand in a field across from people and...
Mm-hmm.
Load your gun and then shoot people.
At
I mean,
and then just run with bayonets and stab each other.
But then that they would stop at night. It's getting dark. We're going to stop and go to our camps. Like, it's so crazy.
Soldiers have to sleep.
They do.
And I love that a night attack was a sneak attack. Well, we can rage war in dark.
Because it's nighttime.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. Anyway, so a 103-year-old golfer most likely breaks the record with a hole-in-one. Move over, Tiger Woods, it says on Wednesday.
He's not that old.
103-year-old golfer. No, he needs to get the fuck out of there. Gus Andreoni hits a hole-in-one at the Lakes course in Palmaire in Sarasota, Florida. According to the Professional Golfers Association... Or the PGA, as most people commonly refer to it. I didn't read that far ahead. Andreoni.
LPGA, which is being your wheelhouse.
Thank you. Is likely the oldest person to record a hole in one. He beat out 102-year-old Elise McLean.
Not while he was driving.
Yes.
But only by a year. He says, you do like you do any other time. You tee up the ball, you take a club, tee the ball and take a swing, just like any other swing you do any other time. I just got my arms in the air like anyone else would do. But it's pretty fucking cool. I mean, a hole in one is serious. If you really think about standing at a tee, I mean, I've gone golfing before. I'm terrible.
I suck.
I'm very terrible.
I drink a lot.
I like beer on the beer cart.
Yes, in the morning in the cart.
Pretty much, yeah. That's what golfing is.
But think about standing at a tee and hitting a hole in one and then doing it at 103 years old. It's quite impressive. So
I think standing up at 103.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking impressive.
Yeah, being alive at 103, doing anything there. He says he takes a spoon of honey every morning in his coffee.
Oh my God, Foo Bear.
Spoonful of sugar.
And before
he's got no pants on.
What's he wearing pants?
Before he gets out of bed, he does a certain set of exercises that help his knees, backs, and hips. It works for me, he says. Very, very cute.
It's called tuck and roll out of bed.
Yeah.
Still makes a little white out.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Very
I sort
little.
Of feel like you can't really do whiteout at 103.
Very little.
Yeah.
Ask Hugh Hefner. I think it can happen.
So this I thought was interesting. So Chris Conte, mean anything to our football fans in the room?
Nope.
Okay.
With Conte.
So he's a Bears. Yeah, he's a Chicago Bears safety.
Yeah, they
and,
know.
You know, we've talked on the show and there's a lot of talk just kind of nationally about the safety of football and helmets and concussions, et cetera, et cetera. And this poor cat has a horrible back injury. It's kept him off of the field this last Monday night's game. He's only 25 years old and says that playing in the NFL is worth sacrificing his health, even his life, over. I'd rather have the experience of playing in the NFL and die 10 to 15 to 20 years earlier than not play in the NFL and have a very long life. I don't really look toward my life after football. I'll figure things out when I get there, as long as I outlive my parents, which is ridiculous. He just kind of goes on to talk about his injuries, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, to say as long as I outlive my parents, that's a very 25-year-old thing.
That's a very 20-something-year-old outlook on everything. Like, fuck it. This is what's worth it. It's the right here. It's the right now. Like, there is no future.
I think you're interviewing somebody who might have clinical depression.
Yeah. And or a head injury.
Or both.
What was really in Clayton, actually, or excuse me, Al. Hi. What was interesting, it says that they go on later in the article to say that his perspective, these are medical professionals now saying his perspective is a dangerous one for multiple reasons, not the least of which seems to be a complete misunderstanding of how injurious concussions really can be. Brain injuries don't simply end a player's life 10 to 15 years early. They lead to dementia, depression, and long-term cognitive problems.
Yeah, they lead to a really horrible last 10 to 15 years.
And they say that the NFL... He embodies the NFL's problem, which has sought to, or their problem has been inability to empathize with player safety, empathize with players that have been injured, and emphasize player safety. So it is interesting, you know, to hear someone like
Junior Seau killed himself.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like these
really, really famous NFL players are coming back years later and saying, this destroyed my life, or I'm fucked because of that.
I have a question. Is it not a choice to play this game?
Oh, it is totally.
No. I'm just playing a devil's advocate.
Oh,
You know, they go out there and they're able to play this thing that they've loved since they were very little. How else could they be protected?
The NFL is America's cult.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, you've said that for a few months now.
So, you know what I mean? Just because people are volunteering to be hurt by the cult doesn't make it any less harmful.
So smart. Yeah, genius.
Wow.
So they want to get hit and this happens. How can we protect them more?
I don't know if you can.
I don't think you can.
Change the rules in football.
Like what? Don't hit people?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fucking stupid.
Flag football.
Flag it. That's it. Flag
Jesus.
It.
It's not going to change. I think you're right.
I will still watch Russell Wilson run anywhere. I just look at flag. So just rip that flag.
Yeah. Steve Good whatever is the Jim Jones, and he's handing out the fucking Kool-Aid. And
you're so
Roger
right.
Goodell.
It is America's cult. It's never going to change.
Whatever the fuck his name is.
As long as the America's cult is what it is, which it will continue to
be. I knew who you meant.
Kids will want to play. Boys will be excited. They'll sign up.
Yeah. Dads are gonna like coach the point. Team and push
but there
it, push
was
it, push
a NBC
it,
News last week. They
don't play baseball either because you can get hit in the head. You shouldn't play sport.
I don't think
really
baseball, but I don't think.
No, but it's the same concept. There are things you can get just as hurt.
You
if
can,
not worse.
But in baseball, people aren't walking away with the same types of grievous injuries. I don't think as they are in the NFL.
All you have to do is look it up. All right, they are seriously.
NBC Nightly News reported that there was a survey of high school parents. They were asking them if they would let their children, based on what's been coming out of the NFL in the past couple of years of injuries and so forth, would they permit their kids to play? And I think, if I'm not mistaken,
said no.
It was like 60% of the parents were like, no.
Yeah.
And the thing was that they were reporting about that figure was it's unnerving to the NFL because the kids that are in high school now that would need to be getting into the sport are the ones that are going to be playing in 10, 20 years that they need. So the fact that there may be a dip in recruitment or whatever you call it for those people. So I just thought that was interesting. Their parents like, no.
Yeah, it was a great story. I don't remember if you did that or if you did that, but there was something about that dip in people willing to play anymore. Mm-hmm.
No, we talked about that when Buddy was still here.
Was that when it was?
Yeah, it was that long ago that we talked about the fact that like football may just die out on its own.
Because right, I do recall that.
Now people that are like pre-teens that they have football teams are like, yeah, no, back off.
Right.
Let's rethink it. And like lacrosse is another one that's so violent.
Oh, real. And rugby. Mm-hmm.
Well, rugby people do as stupid adults. That's
you're right though, because you hear a lot about like cheer for girls. Yeah. I mean, cheer girls are injured like crazy. Oh, and cheer
some big game. Was it the ASU U of A game where the cheerleader got dropped from the top of the pyramid?
Oh God, I didn't hear
One of the it was a big like
a rivalry game,
but it might have been professional. No, because they don't do that shit. It was a college, and it was on national TV, and there was a player hurt on the field, and then they realized one of the cheerleaders had fallen off a pyramid on her neck.
Oh God!
And was like, she is fucked because she fell along. You know, I mean, there were short people, but they were stacked pretty high.
Yep.
So this random thing from 2009. Consider the estimated injury stats for 2009 from the Consumer Product Safety Commission. And who knows how accurate this is? This is for young people, I think.
It's on our show. It's fucking accurate.
But
we're reading it from the internet.
Basketball. Exactly. It says more than 170,000 children aged 5 to 14 were treated for basketball injuries. Nearly 110 for baseball and softball. More than 200,000 for bicycle-related injuries.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course,
It says almost 215,000 for football-related injuries. Sure. So this report from 2009, it's shocking to hear how high other things are. Yeah. But this does indicate that at least in 2009, for youth injury statistics, it's football.
How many had broken hearts?
Oh,
I could remember.
Such an asshole.
Festivus.
Well, I don't have anything to drink. So
sucks to be you right now.
I know. Okay. I haven't been hitting the word too hard.
So here's another youth sports story. A high school star athlete came out. Did you guys hear about this?
No.
This was very recently. He came out by slow dancing to Taylor Swift with the Homecoming King.
Yep.
Well, I think we got two people coming out in that story.
Yeah,
that's
true. That's a good point.
Thank you. And Taylor Swift ain't one of them.
Yeah.
Not Taylor Swift. So he says, I thought it was something I would never do. Dance a slow dance with the Homecoming King at his high school. But that's exactly what one gay high school student, a star athlete, who'd been petrified of admitting his sexuality publicly, did earlier this year, courageously coming out to the world with a simple but powerful slow dance. Oh, well, this makes me want to cry. Michael Martin, an 18-year-old senior at Musselman High School in Inwood, West Virginia.
Really? Musselman High School?
Yeah. Shares his inspiring story of coming out on Out Sports earlier this week. In his post, he explained how he'd been scared of being mocked by his teammates and classmates, so he kept his sexuality a secret. He's a top athlete at his school.
He's a top.
Mm-hmm. Santa Claus is coming, baby.
That's the best. That's what I'm saying right there.
He's
a ringle dingle and
a cutie,
kingle,
but
right
he's
there.
An all-state soccer goalie. He's been
soccer.
On the school's football, tennis, and swim team. His teammates always talked about their girlfriends, and he said some of them threw around the words gay and faggot a lot in a locker room setting, and he felt like he would never be safe if he came out. But everything changed in Martin's junior year when he decided to tell his best friend, a fellow member of the soccer team, that he was gay. The friend was unfazed by the news and said, there's nothing that can change our friendship.
I love it.
So they slow danced
so
together?
Sweet.
Exactly. Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Let's see. Bolstered by this chat and inspired by the coming out story of Robbie Rogers, a soccer player on the LA Galaxy, Martin decided to come out publicly.
Sure.
So earlier this year, he danced with his first dance with a boy. the homecoming king at another, I'm like literally yeah. gonna cry about this. So the homecoming cute. King at another high school. So not his own high school and his future boyfriend.
Aww.
There we were on October night this fall, slow dancing with each other. We attend different schools and met through friends. I was thrilled that he asked me to the dance.
That's so cute.
And he talks about what he was wearing. We danced to Love Story by Taylor Swift, which is perfect song for my first dance with a guy. I mean, how like intense that's to like good. Write an article about your first
yeah.
dance with a guy at a school.
Oh, that's sweet.
Oh, someday all
can
we just
have these Festivus to
share that they are like the
they're
cutest.
Cute kids.
Oh, they are totes adorbs.
Look at them. Aren't they so cute?
Totes adorbs.
I love you, Abby. I don't know. Oh, that must not be about. Okay. It's just they're so
they are cute.
So sweet. So
that's not a metaphor, is it? God forbid a kid eats dirt. That's not a metaphor about that story.
Hey, no. Okay, no. Different story. I remember the first time someone asked me to slow dance. I was at a bar and I'd always wanted to slow dance with a guy and it just never happened naturally. So I was at a bar and it was towards the end of the night and it was to We Are the World. And I'm like, I am not dancing to Famine. Sit down.
Thank God you had that miracle.
We are the world. We are the children.
What about this song?
Oh my God.
Says, that's... let's dance.
There's a choice we're making.
Well, hey, it is, and here's my choice. Sit down.
It is slow. It's a slow song.
It is.
So he was taking his musical cues.
So romantic. Is there, is there a starving child at Festivus in this song?
I love that. Oh, God.
Anyway. So cute. God bless cutie little
chip right there. I like it.
High school boys. Okay. So this is really interesting, guys. This is in our big gay news. The FDA, now we know this has been going on. We've been talking about the ban on gay men donating blood for so many years. It's been a ban. And I thought that very recently they upheld that ban.
They did.
Recently they upheld it. And now they have just, the FDA upheld it recently and just came about to recommend ending the ban. So this has been within the span of a month that they've changed their mind. But there's some stipulations.
But
It says federal health officials are recommending to end the nation's lifetime ban on blood donations from gay and bisexual men. It's been going on for 31 years and now is no longer justified. The FDA said that it now favors replacing the blanket ban with a new policy. Barring donations from men who've had sex with another man in the previous 12 months. So it would basically, this ban would put us in line with all the other countries essentially in the world who have allowed gay male blood donation so long as you haven't had sex in 12 months. But here's
only
what,
celibate gay male. So it's toothless. It's just as bullshitty as it ever
yeah,
was.
But here's what I think.
And what about girls?
Here's what
gay women were never part of it.
Yeah, they were never part of it.
But why? Why wouldn't they have the same injustice?
Well,
right.
No, I'm saying it, but why wouldn't they have the same injustice?
Yeah,
right. If you're gonna blanket policy gays, just get them all.
Get all of them. Well, and it's interesting
it
though
because women didn't have the wildfire effect.
But donating blood, they ask you when you donate blood, have you had sex with a man who's had sex with another man since XYZ? I mean, that's a question.
So if you knew that, like, oh yeah, I've been seeing with this guy that's been on the DL in yeah. Jersey. You know what I mean? He's been taking the, you know, the slow train to Jersey for like 6 months.
And I'm really telling the lady in the blood bus that.
Yeah. Oh, and I can't wait to give my blood.
This is what I really don't. My biggest thing about like a ban about like this. And anyway, the article goes on and on and on. But my biggest thing about a ban like this is, I feel like Al. If you want to go in and donate blood and you feel very strongly about the nation's real shortage of blood,
right.
You're going to go in and say to them, hi, my name is Al Perkins. Have you had sex with a man who's had sex with another man? No.
Nope.
Never have. Have you traveled
to
this country in Africa? No.
They're going to test your blood.
They're
going to
fucking test it anyway.
It's called And the Band Played On. They should have stopped the ban. And in the movie and in the book, And the Band Played On, they had to go to the FDA and the blood bank and tell them, start testing the blood. You're giving people HIV. Mm-hmm. And they were. That's why all the hemophiliacs got it was because, and that's what Matthew Modine in the famous speech in the movie says, at what point, what is the number of dead people that makes this worth your while? How many dead people makes it cost effective for you to test the blood? And the people at the FDA are like, what?
And so, now they're testing it all. And like, now, how much blood, how big of a shortage do you need now?
Right, right. So
to go ahead and accept blood from everyone.
Since you're already testing it, and the testing, now the testing's down to what? Like, it's hours.
Oh.
No, like.
Well, HIV/AIDS testing is.
But rapid testing means that it can be in your system and it's detectable with the way they have to do it within like a day. Like the amount of time that they can catch the virus. Like you can have unprotected sex today and go get tested tomorrow and they can detect it in your system.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like the time.
So it's
now,
not like a 6 month.
Yeah, it's not, you're not waiting for these antigens appear like immediately.
And I'm sorry, even if you're waiting 6 months, like let someone give blood. I mean, I get that they're not in the business of like being a blood storage center, but like there has to be a different way.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is insane to me that like we have two like healthy gay men in here that if you want to donate blood, do it because there are people in the world that
need it.
In the world, in fucking in Phoenix,
right?
That desperately need blood.
And that's the thing. Like, and I get tested regularly.
And
so
I also
just like, have you been tested regularly? Yes. How long ago?
Right. And what I get that there are, and there certainly there are men. And probably women, and who, I mean, you can't discriminate. There are people out there who have HIV that will purposely spread the disease. They exist. I know that they exist, but I can't think of any one single man that I know who's HIV positive. And there are plenty who would ever.
Right.
They know they're HIV positive. They get tested intentionally. They know they're not going to go donate blood.
Right.
Like I am HIV positive. I'm not going to do it. I mean, I feel like the incidences of HIV positive blood coming through a blood bank will be so small, and it would probably be very similar if we allowed gay men to donate blood as if we didn't.
Right.
Because there are women out there, or
it's not like women can't get
straight men. Straight men who are on the DL, or even drug addicts.
Even not in quotes. The idea that there are straight men out there that are dicking around. I mean, they're screwing
like
around. They're sleeping with anyone.
Like
and,
you do.
And everyone.
So
and
is,
I don't
yeah.
care. But why is it that that person can walk in and potentially
right.
give blood?
Or Al could, or Clayton could if they just lied. That's the thing that
yeah,
just makes me crazy.
Okay, so
you just go,
me,
no, I don't have sex
way
with guys.
Backwards.
Dick my blood.
We teach everyone, we teach our children, if you will, not to lie. We teach our children to be truthful, and we go through this thing. And why do either of these gentlemen have to lie?
No,
about
they shouldn't.
They
You're absolutely right.
Now, I'm not trying to jump on you with that.
I agree
saying,
with you.
That's what makes me so fucking crazy because there's no reason that they can't walk in there. And like Al said, it takes a matter of hours for someone to be able to sit down and give a shitload of blood that can totally help somebody.
Yeah.
They show that everything is fine. Done.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
if it's not fine, let's contact that person.
I can show you my last. I can show you my last like serum testing that says I don't carry Hep C and I don't.
And that's
HIV.
The thing
right.
is, there are so many other things than just HIV. There are other blood transmitted diseases that they're testing for.
Right.
So it's
all
like
bullshit.
So it is. It's that's very, right. very, very discriminatory. I don't
it
know.
Is.
It just
that and that's just, what drives me nuts. There was a was it earlier? I'm sorry, KJ.
No,
there,
yeah.
Earlier this year, when I went to sign up to do the there was a donation van for blood in North Phoenix, and it was this big thing, trying to get together for gays to be able to donate. Remember, they had like a bus over here, and gay people could walk to that bus, Rosa Parks style, and they could get over there and they could give their blood to show I'm good.
Right.
But then they had to walk up to the door, and they have the idea of having to go through all of that. Now, I'm sure black people, if they were listening to this, would be like, bitch, shut up. You know, look at what we had to go through back in the day.
No, there was a thing with donations from
there
black people.
Was,
that you had
absolutely.
You had to sign a disclaimer saying that you were, you know, if you were, there's a chance you could have a black person's blood.
Yes.
When they first started taking
it. That is so crazy.
Ridiculous is that?
It's very...
I might even pull out the R word for that, because that's so stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it really...
Racist.
But,
correct.
Yeah. But my friend Justin, we were talking...
Festivus.
There was, my friend Gina put it on Facebook, and my friend Justin chimed in that he was unaware of that law. He's young enough to...
Oh.
He just never heard that there was a ban on it.
Because it doesn't make sense.
And he, you know... gets tested regularly, was aware of his status. There was a blood drive at his job.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him about, you know, gay sex. And he was like,
what?
Well, yeah.
What does that have to do with anything? Yeah. And then they told him, and he said, well, yeah, I'm currently with somebody. And he was like, well, And they sent him away from a blood drive at work, and he had to like walk away in shame. And he said it was the most of the most humiliating things. Yep. So now he can't. Now he's going to be married in September. So now he has to go a year without having sex with his lawfully wed husband, as my friend Gina says.
Mm-hmm. Not gonna
you're totally
happen.
Right.
Right. So now,
and
now,
I should now you're
additionally married. You're and all this stuff. It's disgusting.
It's very, very, very backwards.
It's a real problem.
Yeah, it is.
It's a real problem.
Totes
because,
stupid.
Like you said.
And it's just something you have to, I suppose, continue to like talk about and advocate for as you can. And
remind them, you have a test. Like, we already shamed you into testing the blood. Test the blood. Well, you do that already.
My girlfriend isn't exactly not active as far as paying attention politically and different things. And she had no idea about this upwards of 2 years ago.
Right. I don't think I did. I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't know until I saw gay male friends on Facebook a few years ago posting about giving blood. I had no idea.
Yeah. And because a whole new generation woke up to it. There was a blood drive. I can't remember if it was for... It was something with the American Red Cross. It wasn't Katrina. There was some disaster.
Was it Haiti?
After Katrina. It might have been...
Wouldn't that have been...
That would have been after.
After, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was some disaster Haiti's where the after. Red Cross was looking for blood and all this stuff. And that's when...
I can't remember if it was
some natural disaster, but it was something a little closer to home where like they had made a call for blood donations.
Everybody donate.
And then there was the time when like a whole new generation of gays were like,
"Or not you?
What?"
That's right.
Yeah,
and you just saw it go all over Facebook as a lot of people went to their
people
donor
showing
sites.
Up to
it was
give
like,
blood.
"Are you I?"
Yeah,
and then like you said, having to walk away in shame or answer dishonestly.
Right.
Right.
And that is just the
Shitty situation.
It's, yeah.
And upbeat news, the interview theater count just passed 300. So they're doing it telethon style
now. So next piece of story here. Did you guys see the Modern Family little quibble that was happening on social media over Twitter? So Jesse Tyler Ferguson made a public response to a guy named Tuke Watkins this week. So
Tuke.
How's Tuke?
Yep. Tuke.
What up, Tuke?
I'm assuming it's Tuke. Tuck. T-U-C. Watkins. Okay.
Oh, probably Tuck.
Sounds like Tuck.
I like Tuke.
I feel like
is he Canadian?
Every time I read it, I see Tupac somehow. So, like, I feel like it's Tuke.
Because you're making
Tuke.
Shut up.
That's legit. No, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm going to call him Tuke. Cool.
I like it.
So, Tuke said that... that the Modern Family, that the portrayal of Mitch and Cam, this gay couple on Modern Family, is the equivalent of the gay equivalent of blackface. That's what he's called.
So insulting.
He says the 39-year-old Ferguson, obviously, who has nabbed 5 Emmy nominations for his work as Mitch. Oh wait. Oh God, I wish this isn't the right post. But basically, Tuke went on there and said, it's tacky, it's hurtful, it's demeaning that Mitch and Cam are playing this like stereotype and basically fuck them.
But everybody says it about somebody.
Right? Oh, I didn't think that was the angle was going to be. It was going to be because Cam is played by a heterosexual male.
It had nothing
I thought
to do...
that was going to be the angle.
Huh.
People get all pissed off because the straight guy's playing a gay.
This article's all weird out of
shape. Gay people
are
looking for those.
So this Tuke Watkins was on Desperate Housewives, which how the fuck long ago was that, Tuke? Like, suck it. That was so so long ago.
Is there a picture of him?
Google Tuke Watkins.
Yeah. Google Tuke Watkins. I think he's also on a soap opera, but Desperate Housewives was his biggest thing.
The whole saga Tuke sounds like it's out of that book.
And especially if you're
Tuke Riddick.
After the way the gays were portrayed on Desperate Housewives, he has something to say.
Right. So he said that that he had a hard time laughing at the gay guys on Modern Family because the show's portrayal doesn't feel modern at all. It feels a little bit like the equivalent of blackface. Sure, people come in all shapes, sizes, etc. So why are we fed such 80s stereotypes every week? Well, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, this is all on Twitter, by the way. So he reads this, and Jesse Tyler Ferguson says, we can't be expected to represent every gay person.
Right.
We can only represent these two people. Also, Mitch is basically a version of me. So I never know how to take it when people tell me that he is stereotypical. And in defense of Cam, I still can't figure out how a clown and a football coach, who also happens to be a gay man, is a stereotype. He went on to note that as a closeted kid of the 80s, I would have loved to have had a show like Modern Family to watch with my parents. It would have meant a lot to me to see who I secretly was reflected on television. TV has come a long way, and it continues to forge new ground.
And this is the fucker that played the gay guy on Desperate Housewives, yeah. which was kind of offensive, that he was the housewife next door.
Right.
You can't make anybody happy. Like, whenever you watch a gay movie with the Will, he complains that, why are they so over the top? Why do they have to dress like that? Like, he hated Chris Colfer on...
Wait, who is this?
Doug. The Will.
Oh, the Will.
Just, oh, why, you know, he should get beat up for wearing those clothes at school.
Oh, my God,
like,
that's
why,
how he that's is, some,
I feel
that's
like...
How,
but right, I feel like that up, is yeah. some so then they, internalized
right, but it's
homophobia.
Right, and it's one of those things where, like, well, why does he have to dress like that? He's asking for that kind of behavior. But then when he sees Looking, and it's about normal guys, like, well, now this show is boring. I'm like, this is specifically what you said yeah. we had to be.
Yep.
Like, they couldn't be funny or over the top yeah. or dress fun. Like, and then when they make a show about three real guys in San Francisco that are kind of dull, you complain because you're watching a boring show.
Right. See, and Justin Unga, so but at the Justin same time, Unga thought that show was boring because he's like, why do I want to watch guys? A show about, like, going to the laundromat and, like, doing shit? Sure. But he loved Queer as Folk and Glee, sure. and he, like, he wanted to watch gay, over-the-top
shit. Right.
Yeah.
Because that's fun for...
And then when you watch yeah. the really lovely episode about a gay date where they just walk around the city and have a conversation right. about their lives, and everybody's like, what is this show about? Well, nothing. It's a show you all keep but saying you like- want to watch because you're so offended by the stereotypes. Well, and they're like, well, that guy had sex at his job. So did you, you fucking whore. Yeah.
Here's
you
the funny
work
thing.
At a restaurant and you had sex with another waiter.
Right.
Same shit.
Yeah. The funny thing about stereotypes is they come from actual people.
Things! Yes,
right.
they do.
From actual
they
people
really do.
And enough yeah. of them... to add up together.
Yeah, they really
well,
do.
Okay, like, I'm a gay stereotype plenty of times. I was right. actually, I was at Cobalt last Friday, surrounded by more boys than I've ever been before, and I'm there.
How
and
did
I'm
that like, feel?
It was amazing.
It
I
is,
love
isn't it?
It's
like,
so much fun.
A little light in the loafers,
right.
were they?
So, you know, and I get plenty of comments like, oh my God, they finally hired a lesbian, like all of this stuff, and it's yeah. very fun. And so I'm there, and I'm like, it's towards the end of happy hour, and I'm like closing tabs, and I'm handing out pens, and I've got pens in all my pockets and everything, and I go to close this one guy's tab, and I go to hand him a pen, and he looks at me, and he's like, really? And I said, yeah, why? And he says, really? And he holds up what I have just handed him, and it's a tire pressure gauge. I'm not even kidding. I had a tire pressure gauge
awesome.
Tucked into my pockets.
Oh, that's good.
Just, okay, it's like having a Liza Minnelli doll if you were me. You
guess
know what I
mean? Who's the amazing. Stereotype today?
That's enjoyable.
That is really fantastic. He's like, I can't
with this. I'm going to have to have an answer.
Yeah.
Why did you have a tire pressure gauge? One. Number two, why didn't you leave it in the vehicle?
Oh, that's funny.
Question number one, because the monitor thing told me that I needed to check my pressure, so I went and filled the air in the pressure
good girl.
In my tires.
Okay. As you should.
Like you do.
Good lesbian.
Right. Question number two is that after I was done and when I was putting away the air hose, I then tucked it into my pocket like I do
as
300
do.
Pens a day.
The pen thief.
The funniest thing about that story is that before I dated Kelly, I didn't
know
my
what tire pressure was.
I have like 3 or 4 tire pressure gauges now in my car floating around, and that is not a lie.
Do you know how to use them?
Don't let me in your car because I'll tuck one in my pocket.
I mean, I know how to like...
Yes or no, Katie?
The answer is no. Chili cook-off, 2005. Just say it. Just say it.
Do you like that she looked at me for help? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Anybody?
He doesn't know which one car is his.
He just learned that air goes in tires recently because they tried to sell
nitrogen
windshield wipers.
Yeah.
For God's sakes.
The tuck.
I literally have no less than 3 of them in my car at
Got
the
it.
Moment.
Are you done with what you're putting us through?
Wait. I wanted That's to funny. Just also tell you that very quickly, and this is not news to us, but on his Focal Point radio show, the American Family Association's Brian Fisher recently claimed that the active, aggressive homosexual lobby represented a threat to U.S. democracy. As Right Wing Watch first reported, Fisher, who's no stranger to anti-gay declarations, told listeners, I firmly believe that the homosexual agenda represents the greatest single threat to religious liberty we have ever seen in the history of our
totally.
Existence.
So now he
as
has.
By the way,
does anyone else notice that she's trying to have cat's voice?
No, but.
I'm just saying.
Scott, get over here and let everyone read this.
Now he needs to run for president because they have some Michelle Bachmann quote.
Yeah,
Michelle Bachmann actually said that gays are the biggest threat to American democracy.
They are obviously besties.
I can get that
When she ran for president and she sat down for an interview and they're like, do you still think that gays are the greatest threat to America? She's like, I don't want to talk about that. They're like, no, that's what you said is the greatest threat. So we need to know more about the greatest threat as you see it. And Michelle Bachmann had to just and then they showed a picture of her husband and everybody laughed.
It's just like, of them dancing, actually.
It's just totally insane. It just says, he goes on to note, it's the greatest threat to liberty of all kinds, whether it's freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, or freedom of association. It's gays that are ruining the world. And that President Obama is making kids gay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's his name?
Totally.
And black. Thing.
Tell me his name again.
Barack
Obama.
No.
Brian with a Y, Fisher. F-I-S-C-H-E-R.
Brian with a Y.
He also defended, he said that the opposition to LGBT rights is that it's a natural revulsion of people. It just is really weird. Also, I don't have the guy's name, but I also read another article yesterday that there was another, evangelical pastor recently who was arrested after soliciting men at like a lookout point, essentially. It was like a gay makeout hotspot that this evangelical pastor goes to.
He
didn't know it was a gay local hotspot.
He didn't know it was in his mouth.
He just drove up there.
Had a wide stance.
I thought it was a popsicle.
He didn't know.
Looking for people in his truck.
I didn't know that I was putting my hand. I didn't know that I reached my hand into the car window and grabbed his genitals.
That's right. He gave a hand job through a window.
He reached into the car.
There's a stable in.
It tasted like hay.
Oh, wait.
That's
was
what
it
he
Jesus
said.
Born in a stable?
Manger.
And he was in a stable. The manger was in the stable.
And then he said, horse, too. How did that crazy gay porn get into my backseat?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And the parishioners at his church said, well, the fact that there was an alleged gay sex act, that doesn't mean anything because that's just a he said.
Oh, yeah.
Argument, and I'm going, wait, are you literally saying he said in like a legitimate conversation?
What was it Richard said about
so
like,
that wasn't the alleged sex act didn't matter.
Show us on the doll where the tire pressure gauge is.
Welcome to the show,
Festivus, nope.
Yes.
I just love Fox Axe.
We
are fucking accurate. Fox Axe.
Yes, we are.
Fox Axe. Yeah, speaking of, are you totes done?
I will be totes done.
Christ.
Are you totes come?
We can't shit on Kat's segment until she starts it.
Well, I know, but we're on a time restriction.
That's it in the...
Stop.
National pastimes. Gay sex and sports.
Gay sex and sports.
Hand jobs with a tire gauge.
And now we turn everything over to Kat Carlson in her segment called Other Stuff.
Fine.
This weekend, shit on this. I'm not going to get to all of it. Just pre-shit upon it all. We've got Australia doesn't really get it. TLC needs to drop the L in their name. And my very favorite thing... an arbitrary number of sensationalist adjective things for an extreme amount of time.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Soul.
There were a lot of words that may or may not have been used properly in that
I'll explain
statement.
The final one first.
I feel
first.
Like that was like, Mr. Grinch.
It's actually horrible. That's awesome.
Okay. So the last thing has been killing me because as you read through whatever your social media, like as we're prepping for the show and we save the bookmarks and whatever.
Right.
Every article I come across is an arbitrary number, like this one right here. Relive the 17 biggest LGBT political stories of 2014.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Uh-huh.
The 27 greatest gay kissing scenes. The
12 best selfies ever.
12 best selfies ever.
Right.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You're right.
100 times children have ruined your life.
17 actors you didn't know were black. Do you see that one today?
I didn't see that one.
I can see them.
17 actors you didn't know were black. Oh, I don't know. I didn't even recognize the person in the picture.
Mariah Carey.
Yeah, well, there you go.
They acting in?
Yeah, right? Not Black Annie.
Glitter.
So I found it interesting, and I was going to relive the 17 biggest political stories of the year, but that seems really lengthy, and I've got 8 minutes.
Well,
I don't know why you've allotted yourself 8 minutes.
6 minutes.
Why?
11 minutes. I don't know. Because we have to end on time.
Well, yeah, but we can do Thoughtful Fork Radio. It can be very quick and easy.
Oh.
What if it's not quick and easy?
We'll figure this shit out.
We'll go to the next story.
Good.
We're wasting time debating this.
I don't know. Well, I'm wasting time because some shit crashed over here and I can't get to it.
She got very crazy. She doesn't know.
Shh. All right. Moving on to Australia, who doesn't seem to always get it. An Australian police department posted on their social media that a suspicious Secret Santa package will now be destroyed.
Oh.
The picture on their Facebook from Monday showed partially... a partially unwrapped CD by the oft-mocked Canadian band of Nickelback.
With a caption
poking fun at the gag gift. Police media team report a suspicious package has been received as part of the office Secret Santa. It will now be destroyed. Hashtag blame Canada. Hashtag jokes on us.
Amazing.
Severe threats to the Australian national security. Second story in Australia doesn't really get it. Is a very... disturbing thing called vaginal knitting.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Just last week.
Yes.
No, apparently, three fifths of this studio has got a problem with that.
Yeah.
It's like
everyone should have a problem with this.
It's not transvaginal mesh that I keep seeing on TV.
No.
I don't think
nothing
so.
When that starts to taste sour, get rid of it.
No. This curious form of performance art comes to us courtesy of feminist artist Casey Jenkins.
Of course it does.
A self-professed craftivist.
Oh, no. I already hate her.
I just bought a Christmas book for my aunt called Craftivism.
Is this,
and I'm not joking.
Is this show parenthetically called Loose Lips?
Oh, well played, well played.
Parenthetically, what did I do with my knitting needle?
Is that a tire gauge in my hoo-ha?
Perfect article for shit on this.
Start small, get bigger. Start with a tire gauge, work your way up.
Or, is that a tire gauge in my hoo-ha?
Is that a tire gauge in my hoo-ha? My vagina got 50 pounds of pressure.
Yeah. Casey Jenkins, our local craftivist, is knitting using wool placed, you guessed it, inside her vagina.
Oh, God.
I'm spending 28 days knitting from wool that I've inserted in my vagina.
What?
Now, every day I take a new skein of wool that's been wound so that it will unravel from the center, and I stick it up inside me, and then I pull out the thread and knit.
Wait, why?
So she's making you a wet sweater.
Yeah. That wet wool?
Yes.
But seriously, like, would you want to wear a sweater? If one of your female friends was like, listen, I made you a sweater, but every piece of what you're wearing has been inside of my vagina.
No.
Why do the cats always like this sweater?
I would wear it as earmuffs, but not. Apparently. No.
Apparently. No, the red polka dots are really easily explained.
Oh, stand by.
Oh, wait.
There's more.
Okay, that's where it's too much.
Way to ruin my story, Alfred.
No, don't even
Way
say that.
Way to ruin my
was
story,
that really in there?
Oh, wait, no, go on, Catamus.
This is a performance piece officially called Casting Off My Womb, was lovingly...
Oh, my God! What the fuck is wrong with this girl? She's talented.
She's Australian and a craftivist.
Yeah, two strikes.
She wanted her yarn to come from down under.
If this is craftivism... I'm going to take my aunt's book back because I do not want a fucking sweater from my aunt's vagina.
Chapter 14.
The performance project aims to address taboos surrounding female genitals and a woman's body in general, similar to the many provocative endeavors spearheaded by her activism group, the Craft Cartel.
I'm
Googling them.
Yeah. Unsurprisingly, the idea of vaginal performance has left more than a few people with their mouths agape.
But not to be sat on.
And why am I so dry?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Jenkins has described the piece as arousing and promises to work nonstop during the days she's knitting, come hell or high water, or menstruation.
Well, let's leave cum and like a lot of things out of it because disgusting. Arousal.
Two things.
I have a couple questions.
Gentleman caller comes
I've
over.
I've seen a skein of yarn and I know about how big those are.
Sure.
I don't know who's helping her. Is there a gynecologist that's like got the speculum and they're cramming her full of yarn?
Oh,
or does she just get a predetermined amount? Like she just snips off. Does she snip off yay amount?
She said she puts the whole thing up.
But I don't know.
She rewinds it though. Like, did your mother ever knit?
Like recycling.
No. Like seriously.
Like recycling?
Okay.
But I don't, I mean, there's some, problem. I mean, some big things can go into those some areas. I just don't know how you get it in there. Yarn.
Does gently? Anybody else just have a problem?
Gently?
I don't know. I'm Googling it now.
There's a video that I'm not brave enough to watch.
Oh, I am going to watch it right now.
Have you? Is it good?
No.
Why didn't you do this story?
What did you watch?
I did this story a long time ago.
You did not. No, you did not. This is December 3rd. This was dated this month.
You did a story about vaginal yarn?
No.
I'm going to do it. I'm Googling.
I don't know.
She listens to all the shows. She
I don't recall I that.
Know. She's our archivist.
It wasn't when I was there, I don't think.
I don't
I have
know.
No idea.
I would remember this feeling.
I thought I was going to fucking hurl.
There's a video on YouTube.
Yeah.
About to watch
there's
it.
There's a video. Katie's going to watch it. You made Aaron watch it?
I totally did.
It's
I'm
a
like,
thing.
This is awful.
I think it's terrible.
I had to share it. It was so bad.
Well, sure. That's why it popped up right here.
I had to share it.
Well, how could I not?
I'm not going to itch alone.
Popped up right here.
It's all
right.
Terrifying.
All right.
Continue
that
on.
That story's been up before.
Catatonic.
I've had enough of that story.
Yeah.
But moving on. TLC.
With your voice, you do it much better.
Why, thank you.
Thanks.
See, that's the good one. Why, thank you.
Yeah.
It's good.
Really.
Good.
Keep going. You got 4 minutes left.
TLC.
TLC.
Tingle and Jingle are jumping down Santa's
the
pants.
The Learning Channel.
Oh.
I can't handle this. I don't even know what... Yes, I cannot handle this.
This January, we'll be introducing a TV special about a group of Mormon men living in Salt Lake City who are attracted to other men but have chosen to marry women. The show will be titled My Husband's Not Gay.
I heard about this, yeah.
And we'll follow couples Jeff and Tanya, Pret and Megan... Curtis
Wasn't
and Tara, and
Jeff
a 35-year-old bachelor named Tom.
Confirmed? Is he a confirmed bachelor? That's always my favorite.
I love
what does that even mean?
Bachelor.
Gay.
No. Well, when they always say he's a confirmed bachelor,
it means gay.
Yeah.
I've never heard. Really?
Yeah. It used to be code for gay.
Sure.
Oh,
that's how he confirmed him when he took me a dick up his ass.
My great uncle Bing. Yeah.
Well, now it's not.
It means
now
he's
you
a
married.
Horse thief.
Sure.
Yeah.
The horse thief.
Right.
Tastes like hay. Yeah.
The official trailer is available on YouTube, and quotes from the trailer include, "With our faith in God, we believe."
Oh yes.
We believe we can overcome anything.
Yeah, except for overcoming.
I like to say I've chosen an alternative to an alternative lifestyle.
Exactly. Because through history, gay gentlemen marrying straight women
works
always works.
Just call Michelle Bachman.
Yeah.
Ask Judy and Liza.
And
they
Debbie
both
Reynolds,
know.
Yeah.
Debbie right. Reynolds, right.
Right.
When Debbie Reynolds, why did you marry that asshole? He was the first straight gentleman that ever came to my house. I had to marry him.
Yeah. At this point, it doesn't exactly come as a surprise that TLC has chosen to air this special. This is the network that airs
Honey Boo Boo.
My Strange Addiction, Breaking Amish, 19 Kids and Counting, Honey Boo Boo.
Oh, well,
et cetera,
and
et cetera,
the Duggars, the Boogers, whatever their name are.
That's the 19 Kids and Counting, right.
Yes.
Super offensive.
So I
other quotes from
Googling
that story are fabulous. That's another quote from that fucking story.
And honey, what are you doing wearing that sweater?
Right. Girl, I told you not to wear those shoes. Not with that handbag.
How come you don't listen?
No, you know, she could be like, honey, which lube do you prefer?
The one that's up my
the
ass.
The horse one? I love those pants.
The kind
I
that you're using.
Adidas pants.
I was reading that same article and watched that same video.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh
shit! I had a thought. It went away.
Exactly.
And hopefully the same will happen.
Yeah.
It went away because
show.
I was watching the vaginal knitting feed.
I had a thought pretty bad, huh?
But I'm actually watching live vaginal knitting.
No, excuse me.
Bad.
So nope.
Please, North Korea, kill our
Good
internet.
Good lord. Look at that. 10 minutes to ten, and that's enough of shit on this.
Oh, you're done?
Well played.
Cheers, everybody.
Yeah.
Why,
cheers.
What are we cheering? What the fuck are we cheering to?
Festivus. Sorry, I
Mr. McKee?
Oh, we can cheer. I don't know what we're doing.
I still want to taste that.
Oh, it's not good.
No.
I think I was either drunk before when I drank it, or now oatmeal cookie doesn't make it good.
Probably oatmeal cookie.
Maybe.
That's all right.
I don't know. Maybe.
But I think the oatmeal cookie's tarnishing it.
Yeah, I feel like when I drank it for the first time, it was heaven. It's now kind of gross. But
okay, so now that we've...
It's here, so...
Now we've got through almost all segments with minimal shitting on.
10 minutes open.
Now we're at 9.
Thoughtful vulgarity.
So here we go.
Do you want thoughtful vulgarity, or do you want to hear what happens when you eat sugarless gummy bears?
Oh,
let's do that.
In honor of Festivus.
Let's do
that. Let's listen to people air their complaints.
We're going to let the affiliates down the line know that we're canceling Thoughtful Vulgarity tonight in lieu of funny comments from BuzzFeed.com.
Nice.
Sugarless, Haribo, right?
Haribo.
It makes anything with hair in it now makes me worry. Yeah. It's got yarn on it. Yeah. Gummy bear reviews.
And it may have come from a vagina.
It really could have.
You like my wet sweater?
Excuse me, ma'am, is that vagina yarn in your sweater?
That brings an entire new meaning to virgin wall.
Wait a minute. Would you like my gummy bear?
When her boyfriend comes over, is he part of the knitting process?
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Gross. There's a little bit of Jesse in every. Okay.
Not so, okay.
These are actual reviews on Amazon of Haribo gummy bears, and they have that sugar-free thing that no one should ever consume.
Aspartame?
No, it's the thing that gets somewhere between anal leakage and that volcano that's capturing Hawaii.
Wavy Lays. Yeah, it's Olestra. Olestra. That's what it is.
Olestra. Olestra. Olestra.
No, this is no Olestra. This is something far worse. So from a review titled Just funny. Don't, Damn. Unless it's a gift for someone you hate.
Reframe.
What came out of me felt like something tried to funnel Niagara Falls through a coffee straw. I swear my sphincters were screaming. It felt like my delicate starfish was gaping, maw projectile vomiting, a torrential flood of toxic waste. 100% liquid. Flammable liquid. Napalm. From a review titled, Be Sure to Buy OxyClean, too. Be sure to also buy a tub of OxyClean with to get the blood and diarrhea stains out of your underwear, clothes, furniture, pets, loved ones, and ceiling fans.
$29.95.
Serves one. From a review titled, Yup. Believe the hype. I saw the product reviews and told some coworkers, so we bought a bag because who doesn't want to spend the workday on the toilet and getting paid, right?
Totally.
Brought them in yesterday morning and a bunch of the guys immediately downed a handful each. Within a half an hour, they were in the bathroom. Best moment of the day was when one of them, who had been in the bathroom for an hour and a half by that point, texted one of the others.
I got this.
If you think it's a fart, it's not. From a review titled, It's Period, All Period, True Period. OMG, everything previously written is true. It's all true. Don't eat more than 15 in a sitting unless you're trying to power flush your intestines. From a from a review titled Fully Weaponized Gummy Bears. And you can link to the full these are just the highlights. These are real reviews, fully weaponized gummy bears. The cramping started about an hour later, and soon enough I was as bloated as a balloon in Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, trademarked. When the rumbling started, I sprinted down the hallway and made it to the bathroom just in time for the four horsemen of the apocalypse to stampede from my backside, laying waste to my home's septic system and my will to live. After 3 hours of pelvic shaking, gummy bear assault, I was spongy and weak. Surprised that I had any bones left. I cursed Haribo with a little strength I could muster. From a review titled Awesome and Explosive, the explosive gas let loose to an explosive shart. 1 mile from home on my walk, and it was a long 1 mile back, and I had a mess. Fortunately for compression shorts, it didn't run down my legs. Now, I had to hold the gas for fear of blowing my entire intestines out into my shorts. I made it home, and what happened then was like something out of Dante's Inferno. My butt became an upside-down volcano. Best to stock up on toilet paper and toilet bowl cleaner, as you will totally spray the bowl and back in the seat. I would no sooner get done and have to go again. When you get the urge to go, you best be in the proximity of a toilet. I spent hours on the toilet. Okay, this is my favorite. From a review titled, You Don't Understand. I was glued to the toilet seat. Streams of fire burst from my colon. When I wasn't experiencing Satan's fury exploding from my rear, I was laying in the fetal position in my bathroom, sobbing and asking for forgiveness. I'm a 280-pound man, sobbing. When it was finally over, I couldn't move. I crawled onto the floor one last time and sat motionless until my dehydration finally required that I drink water. The other reviews are perfectly accurate. This is absolutely 100% true. Eat two at a time, three if you're brave, but for the love of God and all things on earth, don't eat anymore. Okay, there's okay. Excellent taste in small portions. During the one of the last of the 8 trips to the bathroom, I released such a large volume of gas that my external anal sphincter could not do its job and remained open/relaxed, while about 4.5 to 5 seconds of gas was expelled. I've never experienced or even heard of that happening. It was so unnatural that I had to check to feel if my colon and somehow pass through the anal sphincter muscle.
$42.95.
And finally, number 9.
Prolapse.
From a review titled Gastrointestinal Armageddon. After a few hours, I had an extreme buildup of gas with no relief. All I could do was lie in my bed and pray for a fart. That may sound funny, but when you've eaten something that has basically turned you into the blueberry girl from Willy Wonka, you're pleading for relief. You can read the rest of the insane reviews on Amazon.
Oh,
and all of those are just, those are all just highlights. You can click on any one of those and read the whole review.
Oh, I so appreciate when you read.
Did you read one that said the trumpet's calling the demons back to hell? That's what someone said. My intestinal distress was like the trumpet's calling demons back to hell. In a guttural pronouncement so loud it threatened to drown out my own voice. And 100% liquid, flammable liquid, napalm. That's,
oh, my heaven's sakes alive. That's good stuff.
Next one, I have a thing about a cat. I have a
for next week.
Yeah, I have a for sale thing about a cat.
Oh, save it for next week. Next week we're gonna it'll be our last show of the year. We are gonna do what's her name? Ruthie's. What is it called?
Ruthie's surprise.
We'll do whiskey sours and champagne and orange juice. Mimosas.
Mimosas, yeah.
What about the eggnog?
I have a little eggnog. No, I just dilute it. We're good.
But you don't want me to bring it?
No.
Holiday beverages from around the globe.
We could. We got 3 hours to fill. We could drink all night long. It's all right.
Fair enough.
Thank you for being with us, kids. We're rounding out the show. It's Katie June, Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. I'm Clayton McKee on Q Talk America. We will leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday!
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.